PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, this very special draft edition. And we're here on day three, round five. The Patriots are on the clock as we go on air. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. Doc's downstairs. And you know, we're waiting right now for the seventh pick of the fifth round, the 138th overall. The Patriots are on the clock, a little over 2 minutes left. And waiting for that pick. So, guys, what do you think of yesterday? You've had a little time to sleep on it. Any different reaction than what you had as we closed out last night?
Not really. Not for me.
No.
I still feel surprised at the Mallett pick. I thought they were going to pick a quarterback, but I just didn't think it was him. I didn't think they would pick I don't see how he fits in here. But
what do you mean by that?
I don't think he's the type. I mean, when we were watching film, one of the things that stood out to me was that he can make some plays. He's obviously got that ability, but he makes too many decisions where you're left scratching your head, like, what was he thinking? And since accuracy and decision-making are so high on Belichick's list of qualities for a quarterback, I wouldn't think that was the, I mean, I thought there were quarterbacks who made better decisions who might not have been as athletically gifted but were, you know, more suited for Belichick's style of play at quarterback.
Right.
But apparently not. The way Bill was raving about him last night at his post-draft remarks.
Well, it was funny because he was actually kind of raving as much about him as a person and talking football and a hard worker and coming from the, you know, the coach's son and both parents are educators and that whole thing.
Right.
Which is sort of the opposite of what he was sold as leading up to the draft. It was all the physical tools, tall, strong arm, all the throws, character concerns, all that. And, you know, impressive human being is basically what you got from Bill. And
yeah.
I do think some of the negatives, the red flags on Mallett were a little oversold. I think he became a product of an internet rumor mill, of a pre-draft rumor mill type thing. And that's followed him for a long time. You know, he had an arrest for an alcohol issue at one point. There's been drug rumors. He was asked a couple times on the conference call about the drug rumors. He said, you know, that's people talking. It's in the past. I'm looking to the future. Never specifically denied.
Pick is in for the
using
Patriots.
Drugs.
They haven't announced it yet.
Brian Kelly is the selection coach Notre Dame.
We got a new coach? What?
No, we're still waiting to find out who the Patriots have picked with the seventh in the fifth round.
Pick's in.
The pick is in.
Is it in yet?
We should be getting.
I don't see anybody going to the podium.
Any second.
Oh, I projected him coming to the Patriots.
Marcus Cannon.
An interesting selection.
TCU
offensive lineman.
What we're hearing.
He, yes, Marcus.
He's
Cannon.
A big guy.
Offensive, according to Real Patriots, offensive lineman TCU.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's interesting because that's
character.
One of those. How do you know his character, Eric?
I'm going by our pre-draft.
They're good friends.
Our pre-draft research. He's a good character guy, durable.
How do you know he's durable?
Again, going by our
good
pre-draft
friends.
Research.
What
yeah,
did you
I
talk
like
to
pick.
About his character,
I
Eric.
Like the pick.
What? Which one of your sources told you he had good character?
I don't have sources. You know that.
So how do you know he has a good character?
Research, idiot.
Why are you guys fighting?
I don't know.
Second hand.
He's being difficult for no reason.
6 foot
not,
five,
no.
358, so he's built like Paul Perillo minus the height. Huge athlete.
Again, unnecessary.
He moved to left tackle as a senior. Could be a guard in the NFL. Can be beat by speed. He's a better guard project. Can move people. Athletic enough to pull, question mark? And coming out of that TCU spread, he must have played a lot in two-point stance with wide splits. See, right there, two-point stance. Right
well,
on NFL Network on cue.
For what it's worth, our lads had him going in the second round.
It's worth absolutely nothing.
So
yeah.
But
look at the weight. Oh, my God. He's massive.
So another guard tackle taken by the Patriots. And
yeah, Draft Scout had him rated as a second-round prospect as well.
So the Vikings are on the board. All right, so
Vikings pick is already in.
Offensive line being addressed in this draft.
You had to.
Yeah.
We knew that was the second biggest need after pass rush.
Right.
You know, we thought they would address
the biggest
need.
Isn't being addressed, but, you know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that a little bit because
why address now what you can address?
When does free agency start, Fred? When does free agency start?
I mean, that's the key because there's no doubt that they'd like to upgrade, you know, that position, whether it's defensive end or outside linebacker, and they're going to have to do it in free agency because even if they pick a guy up with their last three picks or how many more picks do they have?
He won't be an impact.
Three more
after, you know, now that they've got Cannon. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be a guy that's going to step up and do what needs to be done.
So. Most likely, yeah. You don't generally draft elite pass rushers late in the draft. You don't get an impact bang for your buck there.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a dangerous game to play, especially this year with free agency coming at some point after the draft. And considering, you know, the Patriots aren't generally the team that's going to bowl somebody over with a ton of money and just, you know, they can't leave the building because it's too much money. Mm. You know, they usually are looking for value. They're usually not looking to overpay. And if you play that game and you miss out on whoever you're targeting, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say hopefully they're targeting one or two guys. If you miss out on those, well, now it's 2010 Redux where you have Rob Ninkovich, Jermaine Cunningham, and Tully Bantakane, and it's probably not good enough.
Now Cannon does have a medical issue. I guess they found a tumor in his stomach.
Oh, so it's
okay
to draft guards.
And he is going to begin chemotherapy on Wednesday.
What?
But they think that they've...
Chemo?
Yep. They think that he's going to make a full recovery.
Where are you reading this?
This is now being tweeted by several people. It's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Guess that's why he slipped out of the second round.
Guess so.
Yeah. Well, a number
right
of
now,
people.
Jason Lockenfor looking stupid on TV.
But they're all. Everyone's saying that you know it should be a full recovery, but it's 3 months of treatment, and he should be done by June 29th.
He's having chemo, so that could affect his rookie season.
But I'm also wondering if, you know, the Crafts may
certainly
have maybe getting involved here and, you know, sending him to Dana-Farber, for example, because, you know, some of the best treatment for that is right here in Boston. So I wonder if...
but either way, it's not good.
No.
In terms of his rookie season, in terms of being at his strongest, fittest, most prepared.
Right.
That's interesting.
So Marcus Cannon is a Patriot, and we move on. The Patriots have another.
That's good, though, because, I mean, if the cancer is fine and he gets past that, even if it hurts his rookie season, you would think as a second-round prospect, you're talking, and I think he is, I think he's a potential starting guard. So maybe you've replaced Stephen Neal and or Logan Mankins, depending on how that plays out.
Right.
So you're getting value there, assuming that the cancer can be taken care of.
That's a big body to put as a guard and move him out into space and and do that kind of thing. I mean,
I had my questions about his athleticism. Maybe they see him as a right tackle.
Maybe.
I don't know. But you kind of have a right and a left tackle at this point, theoretically.
Yeah. The Patriots have another pick this round, the 28th, 159th overall. It'll be a little while before that happens. 5 minutes between picks in this round.
Yep. Not quite as long because of the 5 minutes, like you said, but.
Well, we have a lot of emails that came in overnight and right up to the show, so why don't we get to some of those. Jeff writes in. He says, good day, guys, and hopefully Lindsay again. No, unfortunately she's not here, but she might stop in a little later. Writing from Melbourne, Australia, where an early rise on Saturday morning has left me disappointed again with the selections on day two. Unlike Fred, though, whose tantrum when Mallett was selected was hilarious. I think Mallett is actually a fantastic selection at 74. The opportunity to be heir apparent is there without the pressure of being a first-round bust like Alex Smith, Jamarcus Russell, etc. So my question is, post the training and sitting with the two firsts and 2 seconds for 2012, is it possible with the advent of free agency, I assume, that these picks could be strong enough trade bait to fill needs such as wide receiver and outside linebacker? If so, who do you think could be participants or players we could legitimately pick up? So,
I think Herzlich is a possibility now that we're late into the draft.
I think he's...
we're collecting cancer patients.
Well, I knew you were gonna say that. I really did. I knew that you were going to say something about that.
This is typical Andy. The guy I wanted most...
Has the brain tumor.
A brain tumor, right. Less. And we don't take him, but then we start collecting other tumors late in the...
Well,
there aren't really that many pass rushing names that are available now.
Chris Carter.
He's available.
Fresno State.
He's
a good pipeline length, guy. Undersized, yep. But proven pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Could be a situational player for him.
Greg Romeus is
Greg
another
Romeus,
name that I threw out the other day. That
injured guy, Jag.
How about Bruce Miller from Central Florida? Heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Outside
Let me check
backer.
My notes. Let me check my notes. Is he still available?
I believe so.
No.
Where's my guy, Bruce Miller?
Gabe Miller just got picked, but that's...
Not Bruce.
No. Let's see. Kevin from Ireland. Knowing what picks we took now, would you give up the two players we actually picked for an elite rusher like everybody wanted? I think I know Andy's answer, but what about what do you think, Fred? Would you give up the two players we actually picked? Well, we picked more than that, so which two players? I'm not sure which ones he's talking about. Would we pick up? Would you give up any of the two players that we had for a pass rusher?
Yes.
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah,
obviously.
Of course.
Take any combo you want.
And we'll
I mean,
take
I'd
point.
Least like to trade Solder, but.
But the thing is, I mean, we really don't know. We think that Robert Quinn is going to be a good player, but we're hearing rumors that the Patriots had him flagged for maybe medical reasons. But we don't know who they thought was that guy. My guess, it might have been Alden Smith, and he just wasn't available.
He was a guy that was, if you remember, Michael Lombardi compared to Willie McGinnis and tied to the Patriots, saying that would be a guy they would look at target as that outside edge rusher.
You know, so maybe that was the guy, and once he was gone, they moved on.
So why didn't they go get him?
They just don't go up that high, Andy. That's
where those guys go.
But that's where they exactly. You got if you have the ammunition, use it.
I know, but you know that's where the good quarterbacks go too. But you can't always pay that price. They might think it's just too high a price to pay.
That's where some of the not good quarterbacks went in this draft too.
I think it's a high price to pay when you get knocked out of the postseason in the
mm-hmm.
first round.
Byron in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'm just emailing to put to rest this Quinn/pass rusher argument. I read in a Globe article that Quinn was completely off the Pats list due to his tumor in high school.
I don't know that to be true.
That's a definitive statement.
I actually know that to be inaccurate, to be honest with you.
What's inaccurate?
That he was off their board.
Okay.
I have been told contradictory information for that.
He was
not off their board.
Was he flagged at all?
He wasn't off their board. That's all I know.
No, but was he on the board, but... You know, with a medical flag.
Well, I will say one of our tweeters friends, Mikey Vandalism, said that he slowed down Patriots today from some draft room coverage and claimed, anyway, that Robert Quinn was on the Patriots board in red. Now, could that mean that's a medical red flag? I don't know.
Right. Walter in Cambridge, why all the negativity? Matt Light will go to the highest bidder. We have our left tackle of the future. Money we save not signing Matt Light can go toward a defensive player in free agency. Rasai Dowling, we have corners, but they are all small. Sometimes they get out-muscled. Dowling fills that hole. Vereen and Ridley, we only have two running backs on our roster. Morris, Falk, and Taylor are too old. Vereen looks dynamic, and Ridley is a bruiser. Mallett, do you feel safe with Brian Hoyer as the lone backup? Granted, Mallett won't be on the field, but he will be in practice leading the scout team. Does a Hoyer-led scout team give the team as a whole good practices? Good practices equal wins. I think the defensive front will be fixed at free agency, picking players that they know for sure. The player can do what they want them to do versus projecting is the way to go here. Our training camp could be limited. Our defensive scheme is very complicated. We need experienced players in the front seven to make an immediate impact.
I agree.
Like Derek Burgess. Mm-hmm.
I agree. We need players in the front seven to make an immediate impact.
Yep.
Show me them.
The Patriots have tried every single way to fill the need at outside linebacker and pass rusher. They've gone expensive free agents. They've gone cheap free agents. They've traded. They've tried mid-round draft picks, late-round draft picks. The only way they haven't tried is premier,
yep,
elite rookie draft pick. Going up and saying, this guy is Sean Merriman, this guy's DeMarcus Ware, whichever guy they want. They have yet to try to take a guy high in the draft to play that position.
And the most frustrating part is that they have had the wherewithal to do it.
Yep.
And they've chosen not to.
But would you accept their answer that this year there wasn't that guy?
No, I don't accept
that answer.
That's
the same answer every year.
I don't accept it.
Okay. I'm just
Go
asking.
Get him. Go
what
get him.
Looking for?
I'm just asking. You know, because that could be their answer. It's like,
well, they can answer anything.
Show me
they
the
want.
Guy. Show me the guy we should have gotten.
We gave you Alden four Smith. Names. Von Miller.
No, no, no.
Alden Smith.
This year we don't know. I'm talking about like the past 5 years.
They exist.
Sean Merriman, Tom Bahali. Sean Merriman ended up with the injuries, but you don't know that at the time. And in his first couple of years, he was a beast. Tom Bahali has proven he's a beast in the same system that we run here.
Lamar Woodley.
Lamar Woodley's proven he's a beast, yeah. He just doesn't fit that ridiculous 6'4", 4'6", nonsense.
Right.
He can make plays.
So we can't draft him when they don't fit the scenario, the measurables.
Right.
We can't draft him when they do fit the measurables. Mm-hmm. When do we draft him? Just wondering, Fred, when?
Okay. Sal writes in, greetings from hot and humid Panama. As a self-appointed ambassador from Patriots Nation to the Republic of Panama, I encourage all my fellow Patriots fans and members of the Panama Pats fan club to log in and listen to you guys. Your show is always entertaining and informative. Thanks for helping us feel just a little bit closer to home.
You're welcome.
I have been listening to each of the past two nights and following the draft online as well. For some reason, I really like the Mallett pick. Maybe not because we need a quarterback, but because it was such a surprise and un-Belichick-like. Picking two running backs tell me that Taylor, Morris, and Falk will not be on the roster next year, which is fine. I also think Butler and Merriweather will be traded when this lockout nonsense ends.
It's possible.
Okay. Apparently, it's apparent that the Pats clearly believe they will fix the pass rush and outside wide receiver through free agency. I strongly suspect either Randy Moss or Chad Johnson will be in, or Chocinco will be, which in Spanish, by the way, means Johnson, so he's not fooling anyone. Just kidding, it is 85. We know.
It's actually 85, not 85.
We will be on the roster either and will fill the need this season following the Pats to maybe use one of next year's first round to get that outside one, blah, blah, blah. But who in free agency do you think the Pats have an eye on for the pass rush? Is there any player left on the draft board do you think could make this team this season?
Do you think there's any chance that that's what they're doing? Those first round picks, they're going to trade one of them? Or
no, I don't.
The next year first round picks for a pass rusher?
So we're just not going to get a pass rusher.
Oh, for next year's first round picks.
We can't trade this year's. We already made it.
No, they, you can trade the guy.
No. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Would you? Do they get that extra one so they can now trade a one and something for Tom Bahali?
Or if they, maybe. Yeah, if they sign Tom Bahali to the offer sheet.
Well, they won't sign for the offer. They're not going to give two ones. They would make a trade, I would think.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe.
Because if they give up two ones,
the Chiefs, though, I don't know if the Chiefs would be willing to part with him.
I don't know their money. I don't know their money issues, though, if they can't give him what he's going to need to get at some point or don't want to pay him.
I mean, it's a theory, and it's not, you know.
Realistic.
No, it's not unrealistic.
I think it's completely unrealistic.
Why?
Because I don't think the Chiefs would trade Tom Bahali. Well, I don't think the Patriots would give up that much for a player.
If he's the guy? If you think he can be the guy?
That's just not their theory, clearly. They don't think anyone's the guy. We're going to take five guys who could be the guy and hope one of them becomes the guy.
Cape Cuts.
Can I stop you for a second, Freddie?
Sure.
Something interesting I got in my email here from NFL Network. Evidently, last night, shortly after they drafted Ryan Mallett, Kurt Warner texted Brady. Did you guys talk about this or see this?
No idea.
I'm just going to read the text. I did text Tom Brady after this pick, and he wanted me to know for sure that he was planning on playing.
Till he was
10
40?
More years.
10 more
10
years.
10 more years.
Kurt Warner on Patriots selection of Ryan Mallett. That's news and sound from the second and third round NFL draft. The NFL Network just sent out one of those releases.
Well,
that
I mean,
so now Tom Brady's going into Brett Favre territory.
He can say that all he wants, but he's not playing when he's 44 years old.
I would agree with you, Fred.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
No,
I think,
but the point isn't whether he is playing then. Is the point is, are you going to force a decision in 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, and I don't think the Patriots necessarily would be interested in him playing 10 more years.
No.
Can you forward that to me, Paul? I didn't get it.
When this, you didn't get the Breno Webb email?
I heard that on the radio this morning, but I didn't put much weight in it because, you know, I just think it's Tom Brady using hyperbole to show how much he's still into the game. You know, and he isn't even looking at a day when he's going to retire yet, which is kind of, you know, which is fine.
There's got to come a day, though, when he does realize he's not going to be able to play 10 more years.
Fine, but I think his
point
is...
And I think
that
day has already come.
Yeah, but
he's unrealistically...
No. I think his point is that he's not thinking about when it's over. He's still thinking about winning championships.
I don't know.
And I think that's fine.
You get it?
Well, that's fine that he's still thinking about championships, but he can't be thinking that he's going to play till he's 44.
Again, I think it was hyperbole.
But he can't keep saying that every year.
Well, what does it hurt for him to say that?
But hyperbole or no, Fred, the chances are he's going to be here for the duration of his contract.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, I unless he is injured in the meantime, I'm wondering when another quarterback is going to have a chance to showcase his value. I heard a lot of people saying, look what they did with Matt Cassel. They, seventh-round pick, they developed him, and they turned him into a second-round pick. Well, they did that because Cassel had the ability to get out on the field.
Right, he had a chance
and play
to prove
for
it.
An entire season and show that he had worth.
Right.
Brian Hoyer right now has no worth, no fault of his own. He has not had an opportunity to show that he has any worth,
right.
any value whatsoever. And Ryan Mallett, if Tom Brady is indeed the quarterback for the rest of his contract, which I think we all expect,
yep.
Mallett won't have any chance to do that. Now, Mallett will be in a higher position than Hoyer because he starts at a position of more ability, more college production, more skills, more size, all the measurables. But neither one of them will get a chance to showcase that they're worth second-round picks like Matt Cassel.
What do you think the chances of, within the next 3 years that Brady will miss games because of injury?
Pretty good.
I think they're pretty good, too.
See, I think they're very low.
I think they're very low, but they increase every year.
Yeah, and I'm
just going on history. The guy has played quarterback for 10 years and missed games in one with one injury.
Yeah, in history too, but I go the other way. I think he's due.
Well, but he was due. He came due in 2008.
No, but to me, I'm not talking about season-ending. I'm talking
about. No, I know. You're talking about
like,
a game here.
Break
or there.
Not break a finger, but hurt some, like
see,
a hand.
I just
or something,
think that he would never miss one
game.
But
see, yeah.
I think the only way he misses a game is with a torn ACL.
I look at it like Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. Those guys always seem to get some sort of injury or something that hurts during a game, but they never miss any time.
Right.
Ooh, big trade on the board right
ever.
Now.
What do we got?
I don't know. This is a trade.
Cape Cod Scott writes
Falcons again.
I will say in terms of that injury stuff, because I think this quarterback thing is really interesting. I think last night, I know Andy wrote about this on the blog last night. I thought Bill was really
effusive.
Well, I just thought it was a very interesting rundown by Bill on Mallett, and not so much about what he said about the person. He was drawn to him because of the football background. His dad's a coach. He felt a kinship there and really enjoyed talking football with him. But I just thought, listening to him say that the line about we felt like we've put the team at risk the last 2 years.
We got by, yeah.
And we got by. And when you do that and you don't have a quarterback who can run, I don't really remember Bill talking in those kinds of terms. Andy and I have been talking after both of his debriefs following day one and day two. There were three or four specific things that I thought Bill said that are very un-Bill-like, which were excellent. I mean, I'm thankful for them. One was coming out and saying definitively, Nate Solder will start at left tackle. Not start the starter.
Yeah,
he will start his Patriots career as a left tackle.
Right.
Yeah, I never
said definitively.
Correct.
From the guy who usually takes the bio provided and removes the position and puts defensive back,
offensive
line,
exactly.
D-line.
How many times do you say, like, where do you see him projecting, Bill? Well, we'll see. We'll get him in here. We'll see what he can do. And bang. Last night we asked him.
Odessa.
Eric asked him about Rasai Dowling and his ability to maybe play safety.
Right. And he said, I hate
shot
you,
that
Eric.
Down. Never played that. I asked him his ability to play inside as opposed to just outside corner. Kind of shot
yeah,
that down.
Yeah, you kind of scared me there. When you first started asking your question, I thought you were going to ask the exact same question Eric did. And I was thinking, did Paul fall asleep?
No, it was a totally different question.
You got to a different question. It started out sounding like it was going to be a lot like
I just said back to Dowling's versatility. That's how
I saw it. So, Paul, what do you attribute the specificity?
I don't know, but I found it very I found it very interesting that he would admit that he felt like they dodged a bullet the last couple of years only having two quarterbacks around when you don't have one that can run. I thought that was interesting that he felt like that. I just assumed that he thought that the people with three quarterbacks are idiots. do you know what I mean?
Getting back to the comparisons almost, where Bill kind of aligned himself with Mallett as kindred spirits because of the fathers in the coaching and growing up in a football family said you either embrace it or run from it, and they both have embraced it. Somebody asked Mallett about that on the conference call, and he agreed, we seem similar, blah, blah, blah. We both are big on film. We'll try to find any advantage we can get. And as soon as he's saying the sentence, people are doing the Spygate rolling camera on other reporters. I won't say who in the media was doing it. Yes, Paul, the word you just mouthed to me was right. But it was humorous. He also had a funny quote about prolonging his career sitting and learning behind Brady, quote, learning the dinks and dunks.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little disrespectful.
Dinks and dunks of the vertical passing game?
I think what he meant,
dinks and dunks. He'll teach me that. I'll show him how to have a gun.
I think what he meant by that is his thing is the criticism on him is he's got this cannon arm. He doesn't have much touch. And I think he was going to learn that part of his game from Brady.
So was Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. I think the criticism of his game is just mistakes. You know, it's funny that we
meltdowns.
We keep talking about
Drew Bledsoe.
We keep talking about Drew Bledsoe, and I really think the comparisons are
right down to. I want people to watch the film. You see some highlights of him when he's getting sacked. And he gets sacked the exact same way. Right. He tucks the ball.
Right.
He tries to kind of, and it's like somebody ties rope around his ankles, and he slowly falls down.
Right, like a big tree.
Yes, yeah. He does the exact same thing.
The hit that Drew took from Mo Lewis that changed everything here in New England was so atypical.
Right.
Because usually he never really got lit up.
No,
it was always slow motion.
Dragged down because he's big.
Right.
And
that's what Ryan
now. The only thing he doesn't do is pat the ball.
Oh, Falcons traded up for Jacquizz Rodgers.
It's a reach.
Interesting.
He's a wee little fella.
He's a wee little fella.
Jarius Norwood,
built like
not in their future, huh?
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean in Louisiana is on the phone. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
Sean.
Turn down your computer.
My bad.
What's going on?
Not much. I'm watching the Patriots draft, and I think they're picking real good picks.
Really?
Yes.
They, you watching the same draft I am?
Yeah. I think talent-wise, Ryan Mallett's got a great arm, and I think they got two great elusive running backs that could contribute to the backfield. And Nate Soldier's going to be a Pro Bowler very soon.
Well, I mean, I think Andy, you know, I think Sean, you know, the guys that the Patriots pick are pretty good players, we think. It's just that they're not the positions that you want.
Yes, and I question of the latter picks, the biggest question for me is the Ridley pick, the Vereen and Ridley back to back. Not even as much the Mallett pick, because I liked Mallett. I thought Mallett was, in my opinion, a first round value. I think he has first round talent. So you can sell me on good value there, but you drafted two running backs in a row. I think a running back you can go get in free agency much easier than you can go get a pass rusher.
I love Solder. I think Dowling is a good player at a position that I didn't necessarily think they need. And I even understand
Thanks for the call, Sean. The
two running backs, because I understand what Andy's point is. I actually look at the two running backs as they're really different positions, even though they both play running back. They're totally different kinds of running backs.
Oh, yeah, but they're...
I just don't see the need.
They're both added to a committee.
Yes, and they're added so close together where they took away an opportunity to get a player that I think that they need.
And I think
not that these guys
–
you're right,
so
Brett.
Easy.
I think the players they took are good players. But I'm still wondering about the needs and how they're ever going to address them. And maybe they just feel like this defense you know, with all the young guys that started for the first time last year, is going to be that much better this year. The whole Andy Hart joke of the year two and year three and year four jump. I mean, maybe they just feel like they're going to be a whole lot better. I don't know what they're basing that on based on what I watched.
Belichick mentioned in his press conference last night, you know, we have a lot of young guys that we think are going to develop. And maybe they are thinking that way, Paul. Jermaine Cunningham and Patrick Chung and Ron Brace and you know maybe they think that these guys are developing and they see what they need to see to have faith in that. You know, it's hard from our vantage point because we don't know everything that they know.
I do, but
you do. Kevin in Reading wants to react about Eric's comments on Brady. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
When Eric said he's getting like Favre was the exact opposite. Favre every year was saying, I didn't know if I wanted to come back. It's a good thing that you got a quarterback saying, I have no intention of leaving. I want to stay.
No, yeah. what I was trying to say was that he's getting into that territory where he wants to play far beyond he's capable of playing the way he's...
I don't think he's getting into that territory yet.
If he plays till he's 44, he's not going to be the same player he is now.
Well, that's 10 years from now, Eric.
And that's what Brady said. I want to play 10 more years.
You just said he's getting into that territory.
If he played 10 more years, he'd be in Favre territory.
That's 10 years from now.
Which he said he wanted to do, and I'm taking him at his word.
I know, but he's not getting into the territory yet.
most guys, you have to tell them when to leave. They don't voluntarily leave. The other thing I want to get is you just mentioned about all the drafting all the offensive guys and the defense. Could it be something like they've drafted so many defensive players the last couple of years, and you have a young defense already, that they figure that they could be a lot of free agents this offseason, and they'll invest in free agents this offseason, and it may not be kind of the huge signing, but if you remember that, like, guys like Rabel, he wasn't a huge signing when they signed him. He was kind of like a notebook guy. And even Rodney, a lot of people consider him washed up.
Yeah, but a good point, Kevin.
It is, but
thanks for the call.
How many times are we going to try to take a chance on a guy who nobody expects? When are we going to go after a guy that is expected to be great?
But I think Kevin's point is that, you know, when they see those guys that they really believe in, like Vrabel, like Rodney Harrison, you know, you can't do it that way, you know.
But the likelihood is smaller when you go after a guy who's a diamond in the rough than a guy who's already a gem.
Right. But I wouldn't call these guys diamonds in the rough. They're guys that, you know, well, Harrison certainly wasn't. You know, he was a Pro Bowler. You know, San Diego just gave up on him, and they went another direction. Vrabel, you know, was a little bit different. Maybe he was underused in Pittsburgh.
Would you say that generally those are the kinds of free agents that they try to bring in?
Yes.
So that's over the last 11 years, more often than not, the free agents they bring in are those kind of under the radar, not splashy, not really high profile picks, right?
Mm-hmm. But I would say that.
But wouldn't you say that?
Yes, and
okay,
I would say
so.
Most...
Mike Vrabel is a home run. Rodney Harrison, right. Home run.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is the percentage of guys that they brought in that made that kind of an impact?
But I would say most teams,
very low, Paul.
More teams are like the Patriots in that regard than, let's say, the Washington Redskins.
I agree.
You know,
but the other teams try to fill their needs through the draft.
But there's a good balance. Sometimes you
you can't say that the Patriots don't.
They haven't.
They haven't filled the need that you're talking about. But
and they've had the ability to do it.
That first pick, Thursday was a complete need pick.
I agree. I'm talking specifically about this defense for the last 5 years, not for one pick.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, Kevin is absolutely right. In 2001, they signed a free agent who was a slam dunk home run, Mike Vrabel. In 2003, they got a safety who did tons of different things. We always try to do that. We always try to do that. We very rarely succeed. And it's been a while since we've succeeded because of what Eric said. It's a lot harder to do it that way.
Sure it is.
And just like it's a lot harder to find Asante Samuel, Pro Bowl, All-Pro cornerback in the fourth round. Your chances of getting that guy, the longer you wait, diminish greatly.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, to say that they don't try to fill needs of the draft, I just think...
I said they haven't in the last several years. They've had a glaring need and haven't addressed it.
That one need, that one particular need.
And
yes.
It's the most important one.
I'm not talking about one pick
right.
At 17 in 2011.
But I think that this team has several needs, and I think, you know, for example, I know you guys don't think corner was a need, but I think they felt it was. And I think they went out and got this guy Dowling
to fill that need. You're confusing. You can get a player who can help you with a need. They didn't have a need at cornerback. They would have been just fine with the guys they have. And if you think they're going to be just fine rushing the passer, you can't possibly think they wouldn't have been just fine at cornerback.
Well, no, I didn't say that, you know.
So that's what I'm talking about. Dowling, I would add him to the mix of cornerbacks, and I don't think we're going to be regretting that pick. Unless the injury thing becomes an issue with him, because he's had a lot of injury history.
Right.
But I don't think that you can sit there and say the cornerback was something that they had to upgrade that spot. They didn't have to upgrade. They had two solid starting cornerbacks, and they had other guys on the roster who have played and performed at a reasonable level.
Right. Certainly offensive line and pass rush were the two biggest needs going into this draft. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
I would agree with that.
They filled
one of them, and they didn't fill the other one. Now, I'm not up in arms about it. I'm a little confused. The Mallett pick is confusing to me, and I know that it bothered you last night too, Fred. And I do recognize
doesn't bother
what Andy's point is.
He slept on it. He feels better.
Yeah, he slept
and,
on
and
it.
And I liked Mallett. I liked watching Mallett play at Arkansas. I thought he had, you know, the Drew comparisons are why I like watching him play. I like guys that push the ball down the field. I like big, strong quarterbacks that can make all the throws and push the ball down the field. I'd like him not to make as many mistakes as Drew did, you know, during his career, especially as his career wore on. But I like watching that style of play. I like Ryan Mallett. I think he can be a good player. The off-field concerns me a little bit. I just don't see, you know, we're talking about picking nits here with Brady and how many more years he's going to play. I can't see him not playing at least three or four more years.
Neither can I.
At least three or four more
right.
years. I can't see that.
Right, and that's why I was like, come on.
In the third round,
right.
was he that good? Was he that higher than anybody else you had on your board that you couldn't pass that up?
Right.
I don't. I mean,
or as Fred put it, are you telling me there are no players on the board that could help us on defense
that could play
right now?
He said nobody could play.
That could play. Fred, are you sticking with that? By the way,
yes, I am.
Okay, thank
no,
you.
No, he was upset about it.
No,
because it sounds like
he's often upset and he softens.
I was perplexed. Yeah. I was bewildered.
So don't make this out that the three of us are up in arms and we think that the Patriots are completely insane and don't have any idea what they're doing. We all love Nate Solder. We all think he was a great need pick and value pick.
You actually said you weren't sold, but.
No, but I'm saying they needed a starting tackle.
I know, I'm just
they kidding. Absolutely needed a start. No, I'm not going to backtrack on that. I saw a couple of those guys in the bios. I didn't watch their tape at that time when we watched that, but I wasn't sold on him
at
because of the strength thing. The strength thing. Yeah, I don't watch the offensive lineman like you do.
He's going to get pushed around. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that was not sold was based on his strength problems, but
Richard Seymour will bend him over and have his way.
Oh, easy.
No, I mean literally bend him over.
They needed a tackle.
Why do you make everything dirty?
Because you,
you know
intend
what you did,
everything to be dirty.
Have his way. Have his way.
Bend
football
him over.
Field.
Have
bend
his
him
way?
Over he and will... have his way. And he says, "How right. do you make that dirty?"
Right. He's going to bend him over backwards and have his way in the backfield.
Okay.
I mean, you guys, you take everything, you make
oh,
it dirty.
I know what's up.
This is a show about football.
Yes, okay.
But I do like the Nate Solder pick a lot, especially after having met him downstairs in the concourse and.
He called you ma'am.
I have a no. He didn't.
No, that was Rozai Dowling.
I have a Northeastern shirt on, and he thought I was a big Nebraska fan.
Okay.
Freddie.
He thought you liked real sports.
I should have told him. No.
Nah, bro.
Nebraska coach. Screw him.
Bopolini gave me this. You know.
Not a fan.
Cape Cod Scott writes in, "Hello, boys and girls. You decide. I think Belichick's just screwing with us. I can see it now in the draft room. Belichick says to Caserio, watch this, Nick. I can't wait to hear what they say about this move. O-lineman, cornerback, running back, quarterback, traded out of the second-round pick and also out of the last third. So far, one defensive player, no pass rusher, four offensive players. What the? Maybe he has free agent in mind. I have no idea. What about Sean Ellis, free agent from the Jets? Oh, well, the Pats now have two firsts and 2 seconds again next year. Don't they have to use him one of these years?
No. Nope.
Never.
I would take a crack at Sean Ellis, by the way, if he wants to play for a year. I mean, he's old. He's not a huge pass rusher, but good player, has played in 3-4s, versatile guy. I think he could give you something, but he's not going to solve your pass rush.
Not going to be the long-term solution.
And he's not going to solve your problem. He's not going to come in and have 13 sacks next year.
No. Nope.
He's not going to be a constant presence in the backfield. That's not what his career's been about.
Jeff and Bartlett says, like everyone else, I was sad that the Patriots didn't address the pass rush. However, on an ESPN thread, someone noted that the lockout will give Belichick much less time to coach and teach his rookies this year. Could it be that after the studs were gone, he felt the rest needed more coaching than they could get this weird offseason, so they wouldn't contribute this year? If so, addressing those needs in free agency does make more sense, and trying again in the draft next year... maybe. Still, too bad we didn't trade up for Quinn or Kerrigan, but Manny Lawson would look good as a free agent prize.
Maybe they have their eye on one of those guys.
But there's
no guarantee
there's
there.
There's no guarantee there.
We've seen that.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Kevin Cavern in Gainesville. Hey, Cavern.
Hey, Fred. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Do you guys think that maybe because we failed with the Adalius Thomas, Bill is a little reluctant to try to replace, I guess, that position with somebody that he feels fits all the measurables, and he'll just run guys like Ninkovich and Cunningham out there? I mean, I just don't understand why he would take a risk on a pick like Mallett, but not on one of these guys that can rush the passer, when obviously rushing the passer is a bigger need. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I do think there's something to that. He put a lot of dollars in Adalys Thomas's basket, and it didn't work out. And maybe he learned a lesson.
So he's gun-shy now?
He's a little gun-shy.
So.
He wants to the only flaw with that theory is I would think he would draft a couple of them in the middle rounds and throw a couple mid-round talents at it.
Yeah.
But he's thrown nothing at it. Nothing.
And he's not throwing huge money at a draft pick. You're going to have the rookie salary cap, most likely, in place. It's not like he's going to give them Adalys Thomas money.
No,
so
but
there's less
I can
of a,
see the value of Quinn. A first-round pick plus whatever you traded up to get to that pick
it's still not
more.
The investment
but
of
But he's not throwing third-round picks at it.
Yeah.
Well, he's not throwing anything at it.
The other
right
part,
now, the status is quo at the depth chart at outside linebacker, as Bill would say.
The other part of that, too, is, you know, and listen, we were all pretty much soured on the Adalys Thomas experiment shortly after he started playing. We thought he was overrated. He wasn't doing much, even when he was, quote-unquote, doing anything back in 07. But weren't you getting more out of him on the field, strictly on the field, don't take into consideration the money, than you are now out of your outside linebackers as a rule?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, as bad as he was because of the money, mm-hmm. and then at the end because of his attitude.
Right. And I think that's what...
on the field.
Yeah, I think if it
no,
was...
No, I'm not saying he should still be here, Fred. Don't misunderstand me.
But
he had to go.
No, I know that. And I think he would be still here had not been for the attitude.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
But what I'm saying is, if you got spooked by the Adalys Thomas signing, and now you're saying, well, I'm just going to get by with guys who aren't as good as Adalys Thomas just because I don't have to pay him, that's kind of flawed logic.
I don't think that's
what Bill's thinking.
Right.
I don't think.
And I actually think I would go the other way. I'd get spooked by the big money free agent and say, you know what, it seems like the way you get these guys best is get the elite pass rushers at the top of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the direction I would go because, as I said, that's the only way to fill this void that he hasn't attempted.
It's inexplicable.
Justin in New Hampshire, first of all, I want to thank you guys for doing the draft show. I've never watched the entire draft before, only tried to tune in for the Patriots pick, but I just can't pull myself away. I knew the Pats were going to trade out of 28, but I stayed up until midnight anyway and was entertained the whole way through.
Thank
Normally,
you.
When it comes to this stuff, I'm a Belichick ball washer.
How
I figure
you?
He's got to know more about football than I do, and I firmly believe in Bill we trust. But what the hell? I mean, our offense was pretty damn good last year. Do we really need two more running backs and a backup quarterback in the third round? Do we need to start shopping for Brady's heir apparent already? If we're going to pick up one defensive player for the first four rounds, why a cornerback when we already have two starting caliber corners? That seems like the absolute smallest defensive need we have. Now that you guys have slept on it, what are your thoughts? Any new insight, please?
And the other issue is, say he sees great value in Dowling because he's a top 20 prospect, what he was coming into the year. And say he sees great value in Marcus Cannon because, you know, assuming the tumor gets taken care of, he's a second round value. He's a starting caliber guard. Why didn't he see that in a guy like Daquan Bowers when he slips and say, you know what? It's too good a value right now. This guy's a pass rusher. We need a pass rusher.
Right.
If the knee's okay, go get him.
Or Justin Houston.
Or Justin Houston.
You know, he slipped, obviously, because of the drug thing. The
but
drug,
it's like
accusation.
He won't pick an outside linebacker.
I mean,
Ahmad Black just got drafted pretty. Andy, we liked him.
But we're all assuming that his opinion of these guys is close to ours.
No. I'm assuming there has to be someone in the class that he says can at least help our pass rush. Brooks Reed, Justin Houston,
that can be competitive.
Sheer. Yeah, I don't care.
Alden Smith, whoever it is.
Don't fixate on the individual. I'm guessing that there's one guy that he thinks a lot of. There has to be one.
And do you think this, I mean, this is might sound a little crazy, but does this have anything to do with the fact that he coached Lawrence Taylor and has such a high bar set that nobody else comes close in his eyes?
You know, it's funny you say that, Eric, because I was driving home and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'll bet you, you know, not bet you, but I wonder if Belichick has, you know, his mind is back in those 90s Giants defense and, you know, which had all those parts that he's talking about, you know, in the front seven.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to recreate that. And it's almost next to impossible.
Yeah.
You know?
Steve Biasi.
And it seems like if you had it. Two overall, I think.
So
yeah, and so
that's how you got Lawrence Taylor. You drafted him high.
Now, Bill wasn't necessarily the guy who made the pick.
No, but he was
part of the organization.
He knows how he got there. It's not like he grew up in this environment
exactly.
where a third round pick became Lawrence Taylor.
Exactly.
But maybe that's the kind that he has to be that type of talent for him to draft him that high. Maybe his standards are too high.
Okay, and, then maybe the standards are too high.
Ironically, he played for North Carolina, and he had a North Carolina player who he could have had in this draft.
Julius Peppers, another guy Bill supposedly loves.
Julius Peppers, yeah.
He likes tarred heels.
Mario from San Benito wants to know about Herzlich. Should we take him with our next pick?
Why not?
Yeah, at this point, I would, yeah.
Because maybe he gets it back. Maybe he gets back to the level with ACC Player of the Year. Paul, what are you doing?
I don't know. I just kind of lost everything.
So, let's see. Go over to the Ace Ticket Hotline from the email. And Larry in Miami's on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
I slept
I can't
on
hear
it,
Larry.
You know,
I can.
We can.
Hello?
Yeah, we can
keep
hear you.
Keep talking. That's just Fred being something.
I slept on it, and I tried to rationalize it in my head. I was pretty much saying that, you know, this league is coming down to, like, three receiver sets now. Everybody trying to do the spread offense, so we're going to need cornerbacks and bigger ones because in the East, we got big receivers, and we can't get out-muscled by them, you know, get pumped. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how I feel that Bill got, you know, dueling, and he's a good – and he's not going to be a great safety. He's going to have to play corner, and what's his name? Forgot his name already. We're going to have to play the role of Charles Woodson, you know, just get on that slot. So I feel good about those picks, and – With the two tackles, you know, offensive linemen, we got to get back to the running tough, you know, line up and hit them in the mouth type of football because that finesse stuff, it don't work out in the playoffs. And the quarterback pick, I don't get it. So that's how I rationalize it. And the two running backs, obviously, we need to get some younger guys in there. Mm-hmm. That's how I rationalize it.
Yeah,
thanks, Larry.
I completely understand the running back pick. You want to keep the committee, but you want to get younger. I thought it might have been a little strange that they picked them back to back.
That's the problem. I don't.
Yeah,
understand.
I think they could have spaced them out.
You could have spaced them out a little bit, but I understand what they did. I don't understand why they did it in that manner, but and I agree. I still don't think the mallet pick is logical here. But
they'll swap them for a 1 in 3 years.
And then not use it.
And then not use it, exactly.
Right.
So what good is it?
Well, they'll swap it for another one.
What good is it?
Then another one.
Because they're not going to use it. What good is it?
Sooner or later, they'll use it. I'm already going to start hyping up for next year.
No,
two ones
not.
And two twos.
They're not
the
that.
Patriots, this is the year.
Nope.
They package the picks
nope.
and move up.
They're never going to use it.
Steve in Toronto, Fred and everyone, great shows this weekend. I'm still unhappy about no pass rush, but calmer now. However, now, Fred, you need to step up and draft Lindsey for duty on PFW in Progress on Tuesdays.
Can we trade Eric?
While Eric is off doing his day-off activities, whatever those are, I really don't want to speculate.
Shut up.
She was refreshing, funny, and more than held her own. We want Lindsey Tuesday.
I actually held
all right, all right, all right.
So,
hey, girl.
I should say.
Lindsey on Tuesdays. That could be, we could call it Lindsey Tuesday.
Honesty is the best policy.
What is Lindsey Tuesday? It's not
that's
funny.
What,
it's
that's
not
what
catchy.
We'll call
it's,
it.
It's
Lindsey Tuesday.
It's terrible. Fred, I'm not sure if you can see, but I believe Eric has a red V-neck.
Oh God!
Sweater
doing
on
that again.
Yeah,
he's got his jacket
cashmere.
On too.
Yeah.
Did you get any of those clips, Doc, from yesterday with her? You know, this mic. You put it too close to your mouth, and I'm breathing heavy.
I'll
find him.
Let's see, George.
That was just gold. Radio
George
gold.
George in Goffstown, New Hampshire. Looks like we're back to the old days of Justin Rogers, Vince Red et al.
I liked Vince Red.
I like Justin Rogers.
I like Justin Rogers.
Guess the selection of Cunningham was an anomaly. Stephen Friday, VTech, Greg Romeus, Pittsburgh, Chris Carter, Fresno, and Belichick still won't take a risk. It's maddening.
This point, I don't.
At this point, I don't really care.
I don't care if they take one because
irrelevant.
You're looking for a guy to come in and catch lightning in a bottle.
The only one I would be somewhat interested in would be Herzlich for that reason.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Herzlich is a guy who he has first round ability, Fred.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't get the unfortunate situation with the cancer last year, he probably would have come out and
been a first round pick.
So this is kind of continuing on Andy's thread here of finding guys who have dropped for whatever reason and you're getting that value, and that would be value. And besides the fact that having listened a little bit to Mark Herzlich, I just find the guy so damn impressive that I would hire him to do anything. I would absolutely want this guy part of my program.
Why do you have to take it there?
I don't know. I don't know why anybody would ever see anything dirty.
This is a football show, Andy.
I say that I would hire a football player to do anything for me, and he turns it into something sexual.
Well, that's what he does. Keith in Central Florida. Hey, guys, great coverage. Question. It seems like most of the pressure on Brady has come up the middle than outside from the tackles. Wouldn't you think that the center position would have been a priority over tackle? Pouncey in the first and Rodney Hudson in the second were both within reach. Also, I remember last year's draft, Bill seemed slightly giddy, and this year he seems back to his monotone self. Did Bill shoot himself one time too many by trading down? I don't know.
We have a starting center. I mean, you can question what level Dan Copen plays at, but if Light leaves via free agency, you needed a tackle. You needed a starting caliber tackle.
And Nick Kazier's health is in question. He, you know, was asked.
Had they traded up for Mike Pouncey in the first round?
Oh, I would have vomited.
I would have been with you.
Would have resigned.
Really?
Not necessarily.
If Bill had known that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of Pouncey specifically, but to trade up for a pick, to pick a player where you already have a more than adequate starter at, and the only one guy can play it, you know, I don't get it. I wouldn't have gotten that pick.
Let's see. James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan
in my presence
in the world. About Brady, he says, I disagree. Brady will see out his contract, but not the next, assuming he resigns for a few more years. We all know Bill will do what's in the best interest for the team. Think Richard Seymour. I see him grooming a replacement before cashing in the Brady chip when he still has a few years left on his contract for a motherload of draft picks. I think it's very unlikely that Bill will allow Tom to retire a Patriot.
It's probably true.
Well, what does he have? You know, he has four now, right? Because he signed a four-year extension last year.
Right.
So it was four more in addition to last year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the time to trade him would be at the end of that third year, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen.
I don't think
he'll be necessarily the quarterback beyond that contract, but I don't think they'll get rid of him if he's productive.
No, but if he's looking to play 10 more years, he'll be playing here.
I don't think Bill Belichick would want that.
Keith writes in, Mallett comes in with his storylines, but ultimately he's the 74th pick. It's not too different than when they pick Kevin O'Connell. This is not a threat to Brady.
Oh, no.
I don't think anyone here does think it is.
No one does.
No, it could be down the road. If he develops, you could develop into a situation at the end of that contract where you say, Mallett's looked really good in the last two preseasons.
Mallett was like Brady in that 0-1 preseason.
Right.
And then he came back again the next year and did it again in the preseason. And now Bill's sitting there saying, well, I got a 37-year-old quarterback. This kid's ready to play. I got Aaron Rodgers waiting here. I can't wait anymore.
But it is a high pick for a quarterback. I mean, it was a terrible pick with Kevin O'Connell at 94. This is 20 picks higher than that. I mean, so let's not just say, oh, it's a late round pick. No, it isn't.
Yeah, it's a pretty high pick.
And Kevin O'Connell, I just didn't work out. It was a bad evaluation.
By all of us.
This kid is.
By you, mostly.
I loved him.
This kid is immensely talented, but a risk off the field, I think.
Yeah.
The Redskins have chosen Niles Paul with the 155th pick. Next up is the Seahawks, Lions, Rams, and then Patriots.
Jets got Jeremy Curley by trading up. I kind of like him.
He's a dynamic
wide receiver for Andy Dalton. Big play guy.
Hector from Mexico writes in, first-time emailer, long-time listener. I wanted to know what kind of roles do you see the two running backs we chose, what will they have on the team? Also, since we chose two running backs, is there a high possibility we will not be re-signing Kevin Falk or the law firm?
The law firm is back.
Law firm will be back. It'll be law firm, Woodhead, and the two rookies. That'll be your backfield going into 2011. The rest of them are all gone.
You know, speaking of,
I'm not
Paul,
so sure.
There could be one more guy in there, but I would think that the guys that have been here won't be. I don't think Morris Taylor or Falk will be back.
I haven't totally closed the door on Falk.
I know you haven't.
Speaking of, Paul and Andy, you both have said,
I think we can see Ivan Fears and maybe Shane Vereen out on the field right now.
You say you get mad at, you know, when you hear people on the radio give out false information.
I never get mad.
This morning I heard, or it might have been last night I was driving home, they said, how many running backs are the Patriots going to carry? You know, they had three last year. It's like they had five at one point.
Year.
You know?
Is that Shane Vereen or Devon Ridley?
They opened the season with five.
And they needed every one of them.
Generally, they open every season. I mean, every team does.
Right.
Four or five.
Right.
I mean,
so.
It's probably Ridley because it's
thicker.
Doesn't look like,
Plus, he already met with Vereen.
Yeah.
Shane told us that he met with Coach Fierce. Shane, you know, we're on first name.
Ridley me this.
Sugar.
Ridley me that.
Sugar Shane.
Fred, if you hold for a second. Go ahead. I'm going to look up something, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, Nano Steel says, I'm so sick of Chad Ochocinco already. I can't even imagine how much worse the Ochocinco overload will be if Belichick brings him here to fill our need at wide receiver. If we don't address the pass rush and Bill decides to bring his little boy here, this will be an incredibly frustrating season. I don't think he will.
His little boy? Wow.
Well, he had Butt in front of it.
Okay.
Wow. Whoa.
Okay, Freddie.
All right. It's a football show.
In the Belichick era,
that was funny.
There were two seasons where they started the year with only three running backs. Every other time it was either four or five.
Right, and that's normal.
It was five, 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 four. Then in 04 it was three. In 05 it was three. And then moving from 06 on, it was 4, 4, 4, plus Kevin Falk was suspended, so really 5. 5, and then 5 last year.
Yeah.
So generally it's 4 or 5 on the
right.
On the,
so he's just
the team.
Replenishing. He's not adding on. Mimo from Mexico, so far it's clear that Bill is not going to address the pass rush this year. Do you think that he already has an eye on someone in free agency? That seems to be the consensus that, you know.
We all hope so.
Yeah.
We all hope so.
Who's this Courtney Upshaw kid out of Alabama?
He's got a baby brother back home in Decatur, Georgia.
6'2", 263, outside linebacker, Alabama. Mel Kiper has him rated as a 5.
Are you looking at the 12s?
For the 2012
Are you looking at the 12s?
Oh, brother.
This is how you got us in this mess in the first place.
Well,
this is how you found. This is how you found Robert Quinn.
There's also a defensive end out of North Carolina, 6'5", 276 pounds.
Oh, North Carolina? Forget
Quinn
about it then.
Copels.
There's also, he'll never live up to Lawrence Taylor.
Vince Brown, not Vincent.
Vincent?
Vince Brown, 6'4.5", 266 out of Northwestern, a defensive end.
What does he run?
I don't know. I don't have those numbers. And he's only rated a 3, so. But this, we might want to look more into this Courtney Upshaw character.
Boy.
Garrett in Georgia writes in, so when Mallett was picked, I was like most of the Patriots Nation, what the, Fred, just say F. Then I thought about it. Mallett could be a potential steal. He sits under Brady for a few years and learns from him.
The dinks and
dunks. He stays out of trouble, and Bill teaches them the Patriot way. He's as big as Ben Roethlisberger, and under Bill, he creates a Brady burger. I believe we are in great shape, guys.
That's kind of certainly the plan. Now, let me ask you guys this, just an opinion kind of thing. What would have to happen for that to be a steal? What would have to happen with Ryan Mallett over the next 10 years for that to be a steal?
He'd have to win a Super Bowl.
The next 2 years.
The next two years, they'd have to trade him for a higher draft pick. That's the only way that you could turn that into anything, because he's not going to beat out Brady.
Oh, since he's an inside
linebacker. If that's the case, then I don't really see the possibility of it being a steal. I mean, you can maybe flip it for something a little bit better, but I don't know. What if you get a second-round pick? Does that qualify as a steal?
Yeah, the only way it becomes a steal.
That doesn't qualify as a steal.
The only way it becomes a steal is if, for whatever reason, Brady's career is shortened, he comes in and becomes a Hall of Famer.
That, to me, is the only way it becomes a steal. Not a Hall of Famer, but if he comes
Pro
in,
bowler.
He comes in and becomes a very, very good starting quarterback, and you took him in the third round, you got a steal.
Yep. But,
and I don't think any of us hopes that
but
happens.
But for some reason other than Mallett beating him out, which is Brady's career would have to be shortened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To get the chance.
That's why I say I don't think any of us wishes that happened.
Right.
Paul, what do you know about Devin Taylor, South Carolina, 6'6", 249-pound defensive end?
He knows everything you just told him.
Well, he claims he watches every – I just almost said F, but bleeping game on TV all fall long. Anytime you met – oh, I know him a lot. I watch every game all fall. I know everybody.
You are such a freaking loser.
The Lions have picked Douglas Hoge. Linebacker with the 26th in the fifth round.
Another outside Rams, linebacker goes.
Yep.
The Rams have about 2:20 left on the clock, and then the Patriots are on deck. Al from Italy, I think it's great to have two picks in both the first and second rounds of 2012. Next year, with the CBA settled, we could get great players for those picks.
Yeah. Who?
And he says less Andy and more Fred.
Why is my headphones keep going in and out? What's going on?
Mine are having trouble, too. So I'm having trouble, too.
Who's doing this next pick, this guy?
Eric.
I am.
Who
did
is
they
it?
Just announce a conference call?
Yeah, I believe they did. Yeah. Marcus Cannon?
Marcus Cannon.
Yeah. I have the next guy that they pick, and then you have the next guy after that, Andy.
I have the last pick.
Ryan wants to know, did Dowling call Paul a woman because of the man boobs?
Yes. Well, that's Andy's theory. There is, as I wrote on
nothing
the blog,
worse
there
than
is
a hairy boob.
Oh, Andy, what is wrong with you? Really?
And when
Fred,
have you experienced
you
one of those,
this?
Andy? How would you know?
I touched Paul once.
Oh my God! Now I'm even more uncomfortable.
Excuse me.
I woke up in the hotel.
It's a good thing for you; these headphones aren't really working, and I can't hear.
It was after a night at Treasures.
Oh my God.
Luke from Ireland wants to know, can you give your opinion on Stephen Ridley? I was hoping we would have taken Tywan Jones, but instead we took this bum who looks like he ate Tywan Jones.
Now, he's not fat.
No.
He's thick.
He's a
still like Andy, not Paul.
He's a physical between the tackles runner, good short yardage guy.
Fullback experience.
Yeah, he was actually all SEC, well, I think a second or third team last year as a fullback.
And he's used to the committee approach because that's what they do at LSU, a lot of rotating. Yeah. But he had a bit, he only had one good year. He's an 1,100 guy last year, had like 150 previous 2 years.
But Tywan Jones was more in the line of what Vereen is. Now, Tywan Jones is smaller and much more electric, but Shane Vereen, I think, is the guy that they're going to look at as that Kevin Falk kind of role that can do different things, catch the ball, maybe work out of spread formations, Andy, and maybe get in space that way, do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he's – I think they're both kind of tweeners. One's tweener leaning towards fullback, and one's tweener leaning towards change of pace, third down back. Both, I think, have the possibility to be lead backs.
Yeah,
I think pure upside, I think both, you'd hope – our options to carry the ball 15 times.
Yeah, I look at Ridley a little like Heath Evans. You know, and certainly there's room for, a guy, you know, and as you always say, Sammy Morris.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's room for guys like that on your as part of your committee without question. They can help. And I like Ridley. I liked him when I watched the tape, and that was long before I ever thought that he would be a Patriot. So I think that's a good, solid pick, and it'll be interesting to see what they can get out of those two guys. But and also going to be interesting to see if they keep anybody, you know, out of the Morris slash Kevin Falk tandem. It'd be interesting to see if they keep anybody.
Steven from the Travis Air Force Base in California, do you think Belichick would spend one of his remaining picks on a receiver, maybe just for depth or someone who has some good speed?
Yes.
Dink
yes.
and dunk works, but we could always use a deep threat to mix it up.
Yes. Although
who's available? I haven't even looked at that.
I don't like to read too much in the tea leaves here, but I think this is a good sign for Taylor Price that they haven't targeted a receiver here that can get down the field, and maybe they feel like Taylor Price can be the guy.
I don't know everybody who's been taken. Jarrell Jernigan, he got taken, I assume,
a long
right?
time ago, I think.
James Pettigrew says, Andy, as far as the gifts, you'll have to wait. Flyers and Bruins take priority. No, screw you.
No, you're supposed to pause, Fred, so I have time to say screw you. Kevin, why are you here?
He's lonely down there.
How about Terrence Tolliver?
No, he's not even working today. He's here for free, I think.
Oh.
How about Terrence Tolliver?
Did you just show up just to play? You loser. Loser.
Anybody? Terrence Tolliver?
I don't know. Did he go?
I'm
Fred,
asking.
Did he go? You have everything checked off. So.
I don't know. Patriots are on the board. Terrence Tolliver, I don't have him checked off. Wide receiver from LSU. Rams have picked Jamal Hines, defensive back, and the Patriots are on the clock.
We've reached that point. I've never heard that name before in my life.
No, I don't know that guy. I think it's Jamal.
Jamal Hines. His mother was Duncan, I believe.
Isn't Duncan a woman's name? I mean, a man's name?
Duncan Hines.
No, I know, but why would he say his mother? His father would be Duncan Hines, right?
I see his point.
Jim from Eastern Michigan.
It's not like Mrs. Buttersworth. If it was a Buttersworth player, his mother was Mrs. Buttersworth.
Would it now be safe to say,
Mister?
Would it now be safe to say that when free agent hits, whenever that is, the Patriots would be top contenders for some of the better 5-technique, 3-4 outside linebackers? Or are we just going to continue to ignore our most glaring need?
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I wouldn't think the Patriots would be in line for the better of anything in free agency. I think they would do what they have typically done, and that is look for a guy that they view a lot better than anybody else does. And
Matt
Roth? And hope for the best.
Like we do? We view him clearly better than anyone else does.
Correct. Only we do not have a team to run.
Justin, it's a shame.
Justin writes in, how involved, how involved are the crafts in the whole draft process? I know in places like Dallas and Oakland, the owners are right there and sometimes making draft decisions, but I get the impression that Bill operates pretty autonomously. So is Robert Kraft making the ultimate decision, or is he sitting by his radio last night saying, what the hell, why did we draft a quarterback in the third round like the rest of us? No, Robert's right in the room with Bill, and I think a lot of times when the other team that they need to do a deal with is somebody like a Jerry Jones, he does the deal, for Bill. But Bill's making these decisions. There's no,
Jerry Jones.
Jerry
is the
Jones
general
is
manager
actually
of the Dallas
decision.
Cowboys.
Right, he's actually the decision maker.
But I think Jerry likes to deal with Robert on this team.
No. But what I'm saying is, we're saying like, where is Robert Kraft? We see other teams like Dallas where the owner is right there. Well, in Dallas, the owner is the general manager.
Right.
Like
Jerry Jones
Cincinnati.
Is the guy like Bill Belichick who is making the call.
And Al Davis is the GM of the Raiders, too. I mean,
correct.
I don't know if he technically is, but
right.
He is.
And as you said, Robert is very much a part of the draft day war room. He's in there with Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio and John Robinson.
And if you don't believe us, you can go to Patriots.com
Absolutely.
And watch the video because there is exclusive access of
Pick is in.
The Patriots war room. And you
we
can
got
see
it.
That for yourself.
Twitter feed downstairs.
So,
okay. Apparently, Jason went home.
I don't know. Who's operating the Twitter?
Please tell me you have
selection
a
is
Lee Smith.
Who?
Lee Smith from Marshall.
Oh, excellent, a good closer for the Chicago Cubs.
Lee Smith from
a
Marshall.
A tight end.
He's a tight end.
Oh, for crying out loud! We've jumped the shark in this draft.
Well, best player available, I guess.
Lee Smith, closer, Cardinals.
I went with Red Sox. But
round, is this the sixth round?
No. 29th pick of the fifth round.
159 overall?
What are you doing?
Yes.
Sports exchange?
Don't you worry about it.
Andrew and Kent, how can everyone think that the pass rush is a major issue, yet Belichick decides to do nothing? Do they not think it's necessary, or is it something else? A tweet yesterday, can't remember who, thought that maybe the team was blaming other areas of the defense, such as the defensive line or defensive backs.
Nothing.
No?
Nothing further.
I wasn't listening.
I was just writing in my Lee Smith information.
Are we just wrong in saying that the pass rush is the problem?
No.
No, when you're 32nd in the league in third down defense and you don't get anywhere near the passer ever, that's part of the problem. So that part isn't wrong. That's kind of, statistically based fact, not opinion, as they say.
Where's this Lee Smith guy? Smith. Hey, I got a write-up on him. He was the 15th ranked tight end, according to Mel Kiper Jr. 6'5½", 267 pounds, hailing from Powell, Tennessee. Let's see the analysis. Smith has
Irish accents in Tennessee.
I had him as a big lumbering guy, 7th-round pick. He was number 11 on your big board, Andy.
Really? Smith has tremendous size, so much so that he could maybe grow into an offensive tackle in the NFL. So he's a blocking tight end.
Now we're actually
could be a tackle. He's Nate Solder Jr.
Now we're actually doing it for them.
His strength is as a blocker, really getting after you and showing pretty good technique. Smith is a tough, aggressive kid, and while he's just adequate as a pass-catching tight end, he presents a massive target. He's an intriguing prospect because of his blocking abilities and size. Position change possible. Historically, tight ends have been able to make the transition to tackle. Smith will be one heck of a blocking tight end, and we'll see if he can develop as a pass receiving skills or make the move to tackle. At the very worst, you'll have on your roster a very good inline blocking tight end.
Camp body.
Just so you know, I don't have any problem with this pick based on everything Andy just said.
I think he'll be on the practice squad, Fred.
There's two things that can happen with this pick. Number one, Dante Scarnecchia can make him a tackle, and we've had that a million times.
Yeah, who's the latest one? The guy that's doing it right now?
Steven Austin. Steve Austin, the kid from Temple that we picked up on waivers?
I thought it was like Maneri.
Steve Maneri. Thomas Austin it is, not Steve Austin. Steve Austin was the $6 million man.
The World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion of the world.
That's one thing. You're right. It's Steve Maneri is the kid from Temple who was a college tight end that we are in the process of trying to bulk up and make a tackle. That's one thing that I look at as encouraging. Dante Scarnecchia's resume in this area is really, really strong. did it with Tom Ashworth, some other guys. He can do that. Or Algie Crumpler isn't getting any younger.
True.
So if this guy can develop the pass-catching skills a little bit to be at least a viable guy to throw the ball to,
right,
he can be your Algie Crumpler road-grading tight end,
yep,
blocker for you. And if he's not ready to do anything for you this year, as Andy said, you put him on the practice squad and wait for Crumpler to right, retire next year.
I like that pick.
I think it's a good, solid depth pick.
I like it
a lot more if we could get anywhere near the quarterback, but the guy that you pick at this spot is not going to get anywhere near the quarterback, so fine.
Greg Lebatard from the Globe writes in.
What? Perosi, nothing wrong.
He says that Lee Smith was dismissed at Tennessee in 06 after a DUI and then went to Marshall.
I just want to state for the record for all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Can we put to rest the whole, all that they wouldn't draft him?
Thing? Right.
Okay?
Okay.
You know, that we're just like everybody else. If we like the guy, we'll take him.
Keith writes in, do you think that the Patriots' draft decisions are based on the schedule we have to play this year?
Yep.
All of the teams that we face are potential playoff teams, and judging by the way we couldn't finish games and run the ball in the playoffs, I think this makes us competitive in the playoffs with upgrading the offensive line and running back position.
About pass rush.
Would you let go of law firm and pick up Ronnie Brown in free agency to match up with Ridley? What do you think of the Patriots trading a first and second for Larry Fitzgerald or a first for Sidney Rice? And if they did, would your view of our draft be different?
No, because I didn't hear you once mention a pass rusher.
No, plus that wouldn't be the draft. We're drafting the guys that we have.
Let me ask you a question. You get to this Jets game last year in the playoffs,
yeah,
and you hit a stone wall. Would they have been able to have a better chance in that game if they had a solid running game?
It wouldn't have hurt.
What do you mean by solid?
I mean a running game that had to be feared.
A
running game,
yes,
that the Jets had to pay attention
yes,
to.
Yes. Yes.
So maybe,
just like I think that their coverage, the Jets' coverage in that game was greatly aided by the fact that they blitz like crazy, and even though they haven't really had tons of success getting there,
right,
that needs to be addressed. You need to be aware of their complex blitzing
schemes. But maybe the Patriots are saying, you know what? If it wasn't for these damn Jets, we would have probably won a Super Bowl. We just need to beat this team.
Huh?
We need to beat the Jets, and we can't beat the Jets unless we can run the ball.
So you think Shane Vereen gives them a good running game or a much better running game?
Maybe they think that.
What?
You know? Maybe they think that. I don't know.
They needed to get two additions to their running back by committee.
Right.
They need to get a couple of younger guys in here that could participate in that. They needed running backs, but I'm kind of with Andy.
And
I don't know.
And maybe,
I don't know if Tom Brady is here if you're going to have a running game that needs to be quote-unquote feared.
Okay.
That's been we're going on 6 years since Corey Dillon had that situation here in 04.
But the Jets have only come on in the last couple.
I do not care about the numbers.
Well, what does the Jets have to do with this?
They're the team that the Patriots have to beat.
If we beat the Jets, we would have won the Super Bowl. Didn't you just hear that?
Oh, okay.
You don't think so?
We would have had to win two other games.
Even if we got there, what about the Packers? The Packers took you to the wire
with Flitty. I'm not saying we wouldn't have won. Maybe we would have won the Super Bowl. I mean... Certainly, we would have had as good a chance as anybody else, but really, you have to look at it and say, we didn't come close. We lost in the first round at home.
I mean, the Packers took you to the mat with Flynn.
I agree.
Let's see. Mike writes in, he says,
but we are undefeated in games that we didn't play. You are aware of that.
Fred just added, how many, three to it?
Two. Two wins after that.
Mike says, do you know if any of these potential free agents are franchised? Cameron Wimbley from the Raiders.
I don't believe so.
Lamar Woodley from the Steelers.
Yes.
Yes.
Matt Roth from the Browns.
No, he didn't get franchised. Matter of fact, he could probably be had on waivers.
And Kevin Burnett of the Chargers.
I don't think so.
No.
No, because the receiver.
Jackson?
Yeah.
So.
Vincente?
Any of those guys are you interested in?
We've told you a million times, Matt Roth.
Oh, I would take Cameron Wimbley. Without question, that's going to cost you a lot of money.
Paul Strippers agrees with you. He says, Lee Smith will replace Algie. He was the best blocking tight end in college football and scored a 28 on his Wunderlich. Lebatard is tweeting how all the players and Patriots pick have good Wunderlichs over 20. So last year it was captains. Now we're looking for good Wunderlich scores.
Okay.
Still wondering when we're going to look for
talent.
Well, I was going to be nice, pass rusher.
I'm not so sure Algie's done, by the way.
I don't think he's done.
Because I don't think his role is simply blocking on the
field. No, I don't think he's done. But
his role
is
keeping Gronkowski in check.
How many years do you think you're going to get out
of? One more.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And that's why
I'll
with
put my
you,
guy on the practice squad.
Yes,
okay, sure.
Absolutely.
I'm with you.
That's if he can't do anything right now, then you put him on the practice squad. You're not going to lose a fifth-round tight end, blocking
Lee
tight
Smith.
End.
He looks
kind of scary. He looks like Mike Bartram a little bit, Freddie.
Oh, yeah?
Look.
Mike Bartram was one of the all-time nice guys.
He has that, like, goatee, that always had a smile on his face, Bart.
Yep, real nice guy. Chuck is in Plymouth. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, I'm pretty miserable down here in Plymouth.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little bummed out about the weather. They told me it was going to be a lot nicer than this.
Yeah, well, I don't care about the weather on during the draft. I am really disappointed in some of these picks.
No pass rusher? Anything in specific?
Okay, yeah. Number one, no pass rusher. No substantial defensive help at all.
Well, Dowling could be a starting cornerback in
he
this
said
league.
Substantial.
Well, you know, I'm one of these guys that, you know, I look at those injuries.
Really?
He's been injury prone since high school.
He has some injury problems, yep.
And you didn't upgrade that much. That's my biggest issue, is you had two
caliber
exactly. corners.
You know, you have, you know, everybody says this is turning into a passing league. Well, you know, to stop the passes, you got to get some pressure on the quarterbacks.
I hear you, Chuck.
The Patriots do not have anybody. You know, they say, well, Cunningham. You know, there were some great pass rushes available in this draft.
So do you think that
more so than next year?
You think they're putting all their eggs in the free agent basket and maybe they'll go hard after somebody in free agency?
No.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely don't. Because it's going to cost them even more money.
I agree with him on this. I think that to be thinking that that's the plan, I think, is ignoring the last 11 years.
Well, then to be fair, your only two examples of targeting an expensive free agent, go getting them, are at that position.
That's true.
Right?
That is true. You are correct.
So apparently
facts,
that
not
is
opinion.
In a position that he values with some
thanks
money
for the call,
in free
Chuck.
Agency. So history actually says maybe we're due again for another one of those splashes.
Yeah, boy.
You know, if we don't get that.
Oh, Carter. Oh, of course he went to the Steelers. They know pass rush talent.
You know, if we don't get that pass rusher, we'll be in big trouble. We could be 13-3 if we don't get a pass rusher.
Mock as you may. But that up there, I'm pointing to the sky. It'll fall someday.
And again, I'm just going to say he is that good of a coach. You are absolutely right. He is capable of doing that. You're absolutely right. Imagine what he could do if he actually drafted talented players.
He could go 16-0.
Every year.
Wait, he did that already.
Every year he could do it. Oh. And he could win the Super Bowl when he does it.
Steven in Glasgow, Scotland. Longtime listener but first-time emailer. Love the show. And without you guys, I'd have to listen to bland radio shows with boring Sox talk. So thanks for the work. Who did that?
Who else?
Although I really wanted a pass rusher at 17. I think I heard that through my headphones. Although I really wanted a pass rusher at 17, I really didn't expect it. I think Bill prioritizes run defenses first with his front seven. Pass rush is a secondary concern. Maybe on par
it's a concern with an for the secondary. So they get killed because there's no pass rush.
So just to use that we'll just say that that's a truism. Okay. Last year they were kind of spotty against the run. We haven't addressed that either. Right?
We did get Marcus Stroud. Don't forget him.
And we're losing Gerard Warren.
Push.
Thank you.
Maybe on par with the outside linebacker's ability to drop in coverage. For Bill, Quinn as a run defender was never good enough, and he was an unknown quantity in coverage. Alden Smith was too skinny to set the edge, and Kerrigan too stiff to drop into coverage. Bill's waiting for a guy that can do it all, and I think it's going to be one hell of a long wait. Those guys are just not coming out of college, and they certainly won't fall far enough for Bill when they do. Anyway, thanks for the work, and please read my first email on air to cheer me up. It's been a really tough 50 hours or so.
Tell me about it.
I don't know where your first email is.
It got lost. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Doctor deleted it.
Did he?
Yeah.
This was his first email.
I think that was the email that he wanted read. Please read. This is my first email. Please read my first email so cheer me up.
Oh, well, I hope it works.
Hey, Herzlick is in New York?
Yeah. Well, he was for
Thursday.
Well,
he was Thursday night.
I don't know if
he's
stayed.
I don't think he's still there.
He's sitting there. The room's dark and empty. He's just...
Jeff and Bartlett says...
Not even the first cancer guy to go.
4% of fans on ESPN think Ryan Mallett will have the best rookie season.
Of?
Is clipboard holding that highly valued as a skill?
Seriously.
Maybe they think with Soldier at left tackle, you'll need the backup quarterbacks to play.
Wow. I mean, now that's not called for.
You're going to start a rookie left tackle. There's a chance you're going to get your quarterback hit a little bit.
Didn't Matt Light start?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's a rookie? Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And what happened to the quarterback? He nearly died running
on the sideline.
He got hit a little bit. But
be that as it may, his lungs filled with blood.
But, Light was still out there when Brady was there.
Yeah, and he got hurt, too.
Yeah, and Brady got sacked more that year. I think that was part of Brady.
He had deer in headlights look.
Yeah, but. I mean, just like Castle when he
first
took
over. Both quarterbacks
got
hurt that year. So would you like any more facts, or do you want to just spew opinions?
Stop it. You know, Mike and Lowell, you're better than that, Andy. Mike and Lowell, can you...
playing the disappointment card.
There's nothing worse than that.
Can you please try and offer an opinion of why we haven't drafted any talented defensive help? I don't get the value argument from Bill. You have absolutely no value if you don't select a talented player. Well, that's...
I can't argue with that.
I mean, but you're not saying that the people that they drafted, particularly in the first three rounds, don't have talent, right?
I mean, I'm not saying that.
There's potential for any of them.
People in the first three rounds, I think that all the guys they drafted have talent. Not sure that they were the right fits.
There
for
also
this
would have been potential
team
with Ryan Kerrigan. And
yeah,
Robert
I would say
Quinn
the same thing if they were the guys that I
Brooks
thought filled
Houston
needs more so. Solder is the only guy that I really thought filled a need and had value.
I think the running backs fill a need. It just wasn't high up there, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Committee.
Well, is that good? Is that good enough? Maybe they saying committee, we want to go a little bit above committee this
but
year.
But using your logic, you had the best offense in the NFL.
But when they played the Jets, they couldn't do it. The Jets had their number.
They couldn't do it all year long on defense.
The Jets had their number.
All year long on defense.
14-2. 14-2.
By the way, we drafted another guy whose hobby is hunting and fishing.
Oh.
Jesus. Bass Pro is going to get a lot of business out of this draft class.
Seriously.
Nice. Derek writes in, one thing is clear. The Patriots are obviously trying to add a physical toughness to the offense. They want to be able to line it up and run the ball. Two running backs, Solder, Cannon, Lee Smith, a.k.a. Crumpler's replacement. Also, putting aside the pass rushing factor, which is a big aside, doesn't this team need depth at outside linebacker? Someone.
No, actually, it doesn't need depth at outside linebacker. It needs top of the depth chart.
Someone who could just play the position. The draft is not a total bust by any means, but for a second year in a row, the Patriots' biggest hole goes unfilled.
No question.
I agree with Andy. We're not looking for depth at outside linebacker.
Yeah, we have the depth. It's the top we need.
We need high-end talent.
And Ryan writes in that Lee Smith also plays on punt coverage. There you go.
Oh, great.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Joseph writes in, with the labor problems right now, you could trade maybe the two first for next year for a great, legit outside linebacker. I don't think they'd ever do that.
They won't trade both, but... if you want to have some hope and be hopeful, you either put your stock in free agency or that maybe they are considering trading for one of those franchised guys or something like that. I find it doubtful because that's a lot to give up. Oh, I can really hear your keyboard.
I know
so
we can hear it.
Let's just say the loud, Patriots do bring in,
these mics are,
you know, a top flight free agent outside linebacker. Do they win the Super Bowl?
Yep.
It's all wrapped up?
Yep.
You think they're that close?
Yep.
Okay.
I think it is their fatal flaw.
Well, to get to your
their
thing from last year, Freddie, I think they would have last year if they had that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're just costing yourself Super Bowls the more you ignore Robert Quinn.
Nate writes in, has Jordan Todman been picked by any team yet?
No.
What round do you think he will go, and do you
right
think
now,
Belichick wants him?
The Ravens were a team that were very interested in him. They are on the clock right now.
Yeah,
this
back,
is
back
going to be
picks,
Jordan
right?
Todman.
Ravens
so
have
says
picks.
Mr. Draft.
They have two picks right here.
You know how he is.
Yes.
You know that he's going one of
yes,
these picks.
Right.
Just because.
And then he can beat his chest.
Right.
Why don't I beat your chest?
nope. By the way, Lee Smith has a red beard.
Or a red beard. Captain Red.
Is there
beard.
Any theories out there about
Barbarossa.
Redheaded tight ends?
Blocking
redheaded
tight ends?
Blocking tight ends are the best kind. They're actually angrier and more physical.
Okay.
It's proven. Fact, not opinion.
You got a little B-Low Patriots Today action going on out there?
Oh, is that
is
right?
Lindsay?
He's doing a stand-up?
And Lance.
Okay. Rancy simply writes in, F the Jets. I
Rancy
agree.
Was the name there?
You know what?
Yeah.
Best email of the day right there.
Yep.
I'm with you.
Pick is in.
Pick Horton is in for the Ravens.
Hodman, is it? Come on.
Horton Hodman?
Horton, here's a who.
Robert writes in, he says, Belichick said he uses a point system in choosing his players. I'm not saying that need shouldn't be a factor, but here's an example of why the point system should be the overriding principle during the draft.
Should or should?
If should, he says. If Mallett gets a chance to showcase his talents and comes through with flying colors, what would he be worth on a scale from 1 to 10? Certainly he'd be worth more than a premium front seven defender. Also, you got an email last night that everyone ridiculed. It basically said, in its own way, that Bill sees football differently than everyone else and is always a step ahead in how it should be played. Maybe Bill doesn't see the outside linebacker playing the same role as it did during the Lawrence Taylor era. Who knows? Long time ago, the center was the second most important position on offense. Certainly, the fullback is less utilized today than 20 years ago.
When was that?
And now wide receivers are the new superstars. Just a thought. And P.S., having Petrucci on the show last night was fun. You should probably have a female in the studio all the time.
I agree.
Oh,
that's
I thought
why
you were
we hired
Eric.
I was waiting for that.
That's what I thought you were going with.
It took longer than I thought it.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
As Freddie has said, there's an open invitation for Lindsay anytime she wants to join
cheeky.
The show.
Right.
It was Cheeky Brown. The first one. So the second pick will be Jordan Totten. Hey, Lindsay liked it.
Let's see. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Cisco is on the line. Hey, Cisco, where are you from?
Hey, Washington State, guys.
Okay, what's up?
Dong, da-dong, dong, dong.
Well, hey, I just wanted to say I've been listening since, probably since Belichick came on board. I found your, the Patriots.com, and I just want to say you guys make me crack up
every single
time I listen to you.
Well, thank you.
Even when Andy uses things like the thong song for the Cisco.
Cisco sang the thong song. Not this Cisco, but
oh,
a Cisco.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
I'm sure, Cisco, you've gotten that before, right?
I've gotten every Cisco kid, everything.
Yep.
Fran.
Yeah, exactly.
San Fran.
Hey, I just wanted to say.
Very funny, you guys.
Like everyone else, it's the frustration. I mean, overall, the draft has been, you know, solid picks. But frustrated with the lack of a pass rusher. Just wanted to chime in and just say that.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Cisco.
All right, and I'll be seeing you guys, hopefully. I've been going by your way here, and by the end of the month, I'm going to go visit my brother and my sister.
Nice. Right.
And hopefully come by.
Okay, we'd love to see you.
Thanks, kid.
So you guys take care and
bring
keep up the good work.
All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Cisco.
Dong, da, dong, dong, dong.
You notice I called him kid?
I did.
The Cisco kid?
He just said that.
Oh.
He wasn't. You think he was
you
paying attention?
You didn't hear him say. He just said, I've heard them all. Cisco kid. And that's when I said,
do you
Fran.
Think he was paying attention?
No. His headphones must still not be working, right?
What is your. Listen to our callers. They take the time to call. The littlest thing you can do is actually respect their voice.
Mozzie writes in, you're focusing too much on the pass rush. I agree.
Bill's
it's
not.
I agree it's a huge need, but I'm tired of talking about
to.
It and sick of Andy and Eric whining about it. Can
oh,
we please
stop.
Talk about the change in offensive philosophy? These picks so far make me think there is a change in philosophy coming. Any ideas?
Yes, I said yesterday. Their philosophy is they don't want outside linebackers as part of the football anymore.
I'd like to get back to that. What, email back. What do you think the change is? Who's the emailer? Because I don't see any change.
See, I know why the emailer is saying that, but really, when you look at it, emailer, they need
emailer.
To replenish their offensive line. You know, they had to do that. So that's no change of philosophy. That's we got to get replace some guys, and then in the running game, it's the same thing. Morris is gone. Falk is probably gone.
But I could
Taylor
even,
is gone.
But I could buy the change if you went out and got players that weren't similar to the ones that they're replacing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you went out and said, I have these two dynamic big play wide receivers I'm going to add, well, that would, to me, indicate a change in philosophy on offense. Or if you, drafted Mark Ingram, even though I don't really like Mark Ingram, you would be saying, I don't want to go with that committee approach anymore. I've just used the 17th overall pick in the draft for the former Heisman Trophy winning running back. I want him to get the bulk of the carries, right? That, to me, would indicate a change in philosophy. I don't know how you guys feel about
right.
it. I think they got a guy in Vereen who's similar to Kevin Falk, and a guy in Ridley who's similar to Sammy Morris, and a guy in Solder who's going to replace Matt Light. I don't really see why that's going to indicate a change in philosophy offensively.
But what it could be saying, though, is, we have, over the last few years, our success has been because of our offense.
If that will remain the case.
And if there's one thing we can't do is go backward there. So, you know, had they not made these, you know, moves, this draft, that might have been the case. And so, you know, defense, we realize what's going on there, but offense has been our bread and butter. We can't afford to go one step backward there, defense being what it is. So, you know, that could be part of it, too, is just making sure that what you are great at stays that way. Louis from Illinois, I just want to say, I told you. If you don't recall, I emailed about 2 months ago saying we had everything we needed to win and they just needed to mature into the defense. I said that we are building a team and not collecting talent, but no. Andy quickly said, we've already have a base. What did he say? We already have a base. How's about finding some talent? I know for a fact that it will be.
I was trying to say it in your voice when you talk past me.
I know for
a
fact.
What did you say? At least you can understand me when I talk.
You said we already have a base. How about finding some talent?
So you think the outside linebacker position is going to evolve and develop?
Let me just tell you what the next several months are going to be. It's going to be a divide between our listeners who believe that we have a plenty enough talent on defense right now. It just needs to mature. And then the people like Andy and Eric and Fred and myself who believe they need to have more talent thrown into the mix on defense to augment the youth.
Louis, apparently, Lee Smith can also long snap.
Wow. Louis says he knows for a fact that it will be Cunningham and Ninkovich harassing quarterbacks next year.
I know for a fact it won't be.
Well, I know for a fact that that will be the plan.
No. I'm saying they have zero chance of harassing quarterbacks. They may start, but they won't be harassing quarterbacks.
Swig writes in.
Guys,
he says, will Mark Herzlich be available for Bill to pull the trigger?
Terrible impersonation.
Yeah. I can't do it like
that. Guys, how you doing? I'm a big fan.
You used to be able to do a good Christopher Walken, Fred. What happened?
I don't get too old.
When I host, I just say whatever I want. I free associate and I make up the skits and bits right there.
Skits and bits.
Okay,
we are in the sixth round, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, my boy Todman's sweating a little bit.
Yeah, I like Pernell McPhee, the last pick of the fifth round, by the way.
I think I liked him.
Defensive lineman from, I think, Mississippi State.
All of Dartmouth.
Patriots do not have a pick until the 29th. Of this round.
So we will probably not be on
the
air.
We will not be on. We're going to be on till 4, and then we're going to wrap it up. And what's the matter, Paul?
No, I thought we had the fourth pick coming up because of where I was in the scroll. It stayed at the bottom when I clicked to the sixth round, but I have to go all the way to the top now. So.
Mike writes in.
My guy Lawrence Wilson went. Wow. He's a good player for the Panthers.
He's now going to be the third UConn player chosen, if he's chosen.
This is not good for him.
This is really shaping up to be a really, really bad decision.
Although, I don't know, because with the coaching change, I mean, I guess you go back, you're still going to be the lead dog running back. But with all those carries, who knows what the next offense is, the transition year. That's not good for him, though.
I'm not happy about that, because everything you've told me about him, he's such a good kid.
He is a good kid.
Ryan
right
Whalen.
Now, he's probably sick to his stomach. It's not funny. This is a kid's life.
I just got finished saying it's not funny here.
What is wrong with you people?
Mike says,
can you be serious for once in your lives?
Oh, shut up. Mike says the need for pass rush may be overrated. Remember, Houston took Mario Williams, was considered close to a bust after his first year. No one is saying that now. Give them some time. We might be pleasantly surprised.
Who's them? Just Cunningham. Because Rob Ninkovich has had 6 years in the league. Tully Bantakane's had 6 years in the league.
I told you, be prepared. This is going to be the next several months.
Cunningham, okay. But you have two starting outside linebacker positions. I think we've all said we think Jermaine Cunningham can be a starting outside linebacker, but we're not sure he's going to be a premier pass rusher. You still have to fill the other starting outside linebacker spot, and right now you have two journeymen there, one who's making a ton of money.
Okay.
I also think there's an awful lot of pressure right now on Ty Warren. To be himself, you know, coming off hip surgery at an advanced stage of his career at this point, around the age that they decided that Richard Seymour was no longer worth it, right?
But they knew they were going to have to sign Seymour. That was a part.
No, I know that. But if they thought his production was high enough, they would have held on to him and gotten the production out of him, I think.
I'm not sure. With Wilfork coming and Brady coming, I think they thought they had to make a decision with somebody, and he was the guy.
I don't doubt it was economics. that's why they got rid of Seymour. But what I'm saying is they felt like it wasn't, the value wasn't there. And you're getting to that stage of Ty Warren's life here, even though the economics aren't nearly as big as they would be with Seymour if he had to be re-signed. There's a lot of pressure on him. Otherwise, what's the difference between the defensive line you finished the season with last year that was in shambles to now? Ty Warren is the difference.
Well, I would say Ron Brace as a second-round pick theoretically should be a guy in the mix.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think he'll be in the mix. I don't think he's very good.
Well, the Patriots have made a trade.
Up or out?
Sixth round. They've traded with the Eagles, so that their streak of a draft day trade every year since 2000 with the Eagles lives.
The one that doesn't exist, you know.
But they keep talking about it. Were you there that night?
I'll get to it in a second. It's only a one-move trade. They haven't moved out. They've moved down to 194 from 193, the Patriots did.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What are you kidding me?
What was the trade?
Well, what does the Eagles have to do with it? The Eagles
moved to 28 from the Patriots, and the Patriots moved down to 29.
Okay, so because that was originally the Jets, but the Eagles must have made a trade with the Jets earlier.
Right.
But what? They just flip-flop picks?
Yeah.
Well, there has to be something else.
Well, what?
Well, do you think he just
said... The point difference in those two picks has got to be like 1 point. Like,
do you think he just said...
Let's just keep this going.
We have a tweet because there was a thing on the NFL Network the other night that Berman was.
ESPN.
Berman said, Berman, you know, something to Bill, and so you know
you're on the verge of history.
You know, you have to keep this going with Andy Reid here and make another draft day trade like you do every year.
But didn't we disprove it?
Yeah, I think they're counting other trades that aren't draft trades.
Just trades during
the year.
I think
they're just counting other stuff. You know, like Tracy White last year. I think they're counting. That's not a draft trade.
He came from the Eagles.
Yeah. You know, the Greg Lewis trade, you know, and stuff like that. I thought they would, when that thing was written on Pro Football Talk, it said draft weekend trades.
Right, right.
So I don't consider a trade in the summer
right.
between a wide receiver for a conditional pick in the future. That's not a draft trade.
Right.
Not a draft weekend trade. But evidently there is something going on with the Patriots and the Eagles that
clearly they just made this trade too.
Just to keep that streak going.
Let's
just swap spots.
That's an embarrassment. Supposedly this is such serious business where we trade up and then trade down to gain a half a pick, to gain this, to gain that. And then we make a deal just to have a record? I mean, that's as embarrassing as the freaking dropkick.
Zach Azirik.
And notice Chris Berman's involved with all of them, by the way.
Is it as embarrassing as he's not taking a pass rusher?
I mean, really, he's made a mockery of this draft. We're now making trades.
The things that
Wait,
you
that
find
doesn't
to
bother
get
you,
really,
Fred,
really
if we're just making trades to extend a stupid PR record?
I don't know the conditions around this. I don't know what happened.
You just said they just flip-flop picks.
Right, it looks like that way. Yes.
Two rounds away. So not even for a player or something. I mean.
Well, are you putting too much credence in bottom of the sixth round?
No, I'm putting too much – I thought the draft mattered. I thought we got Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the bottom of the sixth round. I thought we got great receivers in the seventh round. I thought we got players that mattered, Matt Cassel, Tom Brady, David Givens. Now we're just flip-flopping picks willy-nilly. We don't care because we want to have some record extended. What an embarrassment.
Aaron from Media Relations just handed me about 50 copies of Lee Smith's bio. I don't know what I'm going to do with all
of
them.
I'll take one as well.
You'll take one?
Yes, I need one.
How many saves did he have?
Let's see.
8.
Thank you.
Need another one?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Zach from Syracuse says, this draft is so frustrating. I completely understand getting Solder. It's not the sexy pick we all wanted, but it takes care of a need. However, the rest of this draft is completely inexplicable. How can you ignore the team's greatest need so blatantly? I would not have anyone else heading this team but Bill, but it's challenging my belief in him as far as drafting. Part of me feels like he sees or hears everyone saying he needs a draft to draft a pass rusher and says, well, I'll show him. I'll win with a backup long snapper and Telly Bandicane as my starters. Well, here's to hoping we can get someone who can sack the freaking quarterback. So,
Lee Smith also has a knack for returning short kickoffs. 6 of them.
Yeah, Rory says they just traded 193 to Philly for 194 to keep their streak of draft. Trades over draft day alive.
That's an embarrassment.
But Paul thinks that's a phony streak anyway because they're not all draft day trades.
I think there's two different things that are talking about. That's all.
I think it's an embarrassment.
I agree with Andy.
I thought this was serious. I thought this is where you built a team. I thought those late picks mattered. I thought they made free agent decisions based on compensatory picks that could be sixth and seventh round picks. Now I just didn't know willy-nilly. We just screw around with the draft.
Rich in Maine, as always.
Was that in the best interest of his football team?
Rich in Maine says, as always, great coverage and observations around 1, 2, and today. This has been the strangest draft ever, and I think the Pats management arrogance and so-called genius has finally caught up to them.
I agree.
The Pats management is way more concerned about their financial bottom line and happy just being competitive rather than great. It seems so long as the seats are full on game day, all is good with them, win or lose.
I don't agree.
Pat's draft philosophy is no different than his defensive philosophy. Back up, back up, back up, and hope for the other guys to make a mistake.
That's a great point. That is a great comparison. Because I do think that's what they do on defense a lot. They think you can't go the length of the field without making mistakes. They think that sooner or later you'll screw up rather than going after them and making plays.
Brilliant.
And then the draft, they think the same thing. We'll back up, back up. Other people will screw up. Good players will fall down. We'll pick a bunch of them. We'll go 50% in the second round, and we'll be good enough. And we'll make trades to keep streaks in our trade whatever record alive.
Calvin in London.
That really bothers me.
Do you think?
Obviously.
Why doesn't it bother you guys? This is
because it doesn't matter.
A guy like Jordan Todman is on the board, and they're just willy-nilly trading draft picks like they don't matter.
They can still get him at 194.
They're not going to take him. They already took two running backs. My point is people's lives are at stake here, they're just trading like they are just commodities in a game.
Andy's point is for someone like Tom Brady 11 years ago was left crying
about
it.
He still cries about it.
And this is when he was taken, and they obviously think so much about it that they're just making jokes. That's Andy's point. Now, am I as upset about it as Andy? No.
Probably nobody is, but I think it's an embarrassment.
But I think that's Andy's point.
Calvin in London, do you think New England media will press Bill more on the fact that he hasn't addressed the password?
Less than zero chance.
Couldn't someone from PFW mention to him the Pats' third down statistics, the fact there were good pass rushers available, and ask why he didn't think they were worth taking? Just to draw a parallel, if a soccer team as Man U had a huge hole in their defense and it wasn't addressed, the press and fans would really go after the coach.
Yeah,
just wonder how far the press will push him.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think I said that, Andy.
Not at all. They won't push him at all. And I say they. Not us. I'm more mad about the trade. I'm not going to lie.
I couldn't tell.
Andy Hart, not happy.
He takes the fun out of football and makes everything so freaking serious. It's not a game. It's life and death. It's business.
You just thought.
And then it's just for fun. It's willy-nilly fun. That's an embarrassment.
Swig still wants to have an answer to his question. Do you think they'll have any interest in Herzlick?
Yes. I thought they would at 159, but apparently they need another tight end.
Apparently that rubbed Eric the wrong way.
Gobble, gobble.
How come no one else is upset about this?
I am upset. I'm not apoplectic.
No,
about
but
it.
He literally. There is nothing about the NFL that's a game to him.
I know.
It's all a business. It's
even the
life
game
and
isn't
death.
A game.
It's serious. It's when he loses, he just looks like he wants to kill somebody, and yet he can make a trade simply to keep a stupid, meaningless PR record that no one on the freaking planet knew or cared about alive.
But it didn't affect anything else.
And it might
how do
even,
you know?
It might not even be true.
How do you know it didn't affect anything?
Well, it's one slot in the bottom of the sixth round.
So if they had picked 200 and not taken Tom Brady, that would not have affected a damn thing.
They could
nothing.
Have,
nothing in this building, no banners, no nothing.
They could have still chosen Tom Brady.
Not if he was
not
taken
he
at 199.
How do you know if Philadelphia is going to take that guy? I'm sure they didn't say who they were going to pick.
Yeah.
Well, they probably did. Well, the relationship between them, this incestuous relationship with these
trades. They
should
be reprimanded for that if they actually told each other what they were going to pick. Don't pick this guy.
Right.
I'm gonna pick
this really
guy.
Bothers me.
Too much gossiping and not enough stretching.
Michael,
well,
I
too
like
much
that.
Screwing around, making willy-nilly trades, and not enough actual trying to draft pass rushers
in the spot of the sixth round.
It's a joke.
It's a joke, Bill. You're right.
Well, hold on, Fred. Seriously.
You get a Hall of Fame quarterback in the end of the draft, but you can't get a good pass rusher.
If they did this in 2000 and traded from 199 to 200, and and Philly took Tom Brady at 199, we wouldn't be sitting in this building right now.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
Wait a minute. What? What?
If they made this trade in 2000 and went from 199 to 200.
We wouldn't be sitting in this building?
Well, we would be, but it
why
wouldn't.
Why not?
It wouldn't have those three banners over
there. I don't know if you'd be wearing.
The banners wouldn't maybe right, not adorning right. the building, but we'd be in the building.
Yeah, we'd be.
I don't know about that.
It was already being built.
Yeah. It was already
this is not the house that Brady built.
It's the house that Drew built.
It's the house that Robert built.
Right.
Get that right. Kraft, I do not hold this trade against you in any way.
We wouldn't have this big fancy mall over here. We wouldn't have those banners up there like Andy just said.
The mall's a possibility. The banners are a guarantee.
Yeah.
Because the house that Drew built, he'd be still throwing picks in.
Wow. The booth. Paul, any reaction to that one?
He's not listening.
He's on his phone.
By the way, I need followers. At Jumbo Hart on Twitter. At Jumbo Hart.
Why do you need followers?
So when I
rant, I'm an egomaniac.
When I rant on Twitter, I want him to read it. I jumped like 100 yesterday, though, from this.
Mike in Boston.
I don't know, 650.
Pretend you're Bill.
Sweet.
You have either taken truth serum or...
I'll pass.
Or for fear of death must answer the question fully. A journalist asks you to justify why no defensive line or pass rush taken. What would you think he would say?
None of your damn business.
No, if he had to answer. What do you think he would say?
We took the players.
We did what's best for our football team.
We looked at the board.
Period.
We looked at the talent that was available, and we took the best players we thought.
Okay.
Don't ever question me. I'm God.
But instead,
he wouldn't say that.
But
that's what he implies when he answers that way.
We do what's in the best interest of the football team.
Which at times is swapping picks with the Eagles to keep meaningless records alive.
Oh, my God. Would you give it up?
I don't understand how that doesn't bother you.
I didn't say it didn't bother you, but
makes us treat the game like there is no fun involved at all, that it's no longer a game. It's life and death. Everything is serious. If you mention on the third team practice reps in practice on the first day of training camp that they ran an end around to Ray Ventrone, that's state secrets. That could cost us a game in December.
Could cost you your job.
But swapping picks to keep a stupid record alive is okay. Mm-hmm. I truly don't understand it.
It's not even a record either.
It really isn't. It's a PR record.
But it's just kind of a fact
that no one even knows.
Isn't it just kind of a fact?
I didn't even know it was
true. They've traded with the team
a lot
of times.
A lot of times, yes. But I don't think it's a record or any some consecutive years in a row. I think that's a mistake.
Still not picked.
That would be accurate, Andy.
That's not cool.
Good news is no more running backs have gotten taken in the sixth round so far.
Chase in Orlando, I enjoy watching football and the Patriots, but I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to the finer points. So
slippery
I have a question.
Rock guy went.
Is it possible for a bigger and taller than average corner to play outside linebacker, and do you anticipate six defensive backs in the field consistently or trading a couple defensive backs they already have?
Rozai Dowling is not going to play outside linebacker.
In some defenses it happens. They play like a rover position where it's a
big
defensive
nickel.
Back, outside linebacker. But not in Mike Hartline, did he go so – oh, no, Mike Hartline was just getting killed by somebody.
Did you sneak one of the five-hour energies, Andy?
That's Nick Fairley.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the Detroit Lions defense is going to be absolutely
Stephen Ridley just got tackled.
Fearsome. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sue and fairly inflict pain.
That was a good Patriots-like montage. They had Ryan Mallett getting decleated by Nick Fairley, followed up by
Stephen Ridley.
Stevon Ridley.
Is it Stevon?
Well, that's what
everyone's been calling
they
him
said
Steven.
On TV. When they announced the pick, they said Stevon.
Where did Will Rackley go, Fred?
I think he went to the...
He's never heard that name before.
He must have gone in the fourth
he
round
went earlier.
Or late third round after we were off the air last night, because he hasn't gone since we've been on the air today.
He did get picked
so
already,
he must
though.
Have gone late third or fourth round.
I like him.
Jim writes in, all right, so these are the lessons we have learned from the 2011 NFL draft based on how the Patriots have drafted so far.
Jacksonville.
One, Jermaine Cunningham is the next DeMarcus Ware. Two, Tom Brady is apparently closer to 40 years old than his birth certificate is aware of. Three, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis will lead a powerhouse committee of running backs that will strike fear in the eyes of Rex Ryan and John Harbaugh. Four, Matt Light and Logan Mankins are expendable with the drafting of Marcus Cannon and Nate Solder. Five, Bill is banking on there not being a season this year and is looking forward to the 2012 draft. And six, I hear Ken Walter is available to play the five technique.
Andy, two picks after Mallett, William Rackley.
Oh, we could have had him.
12th pick of the third round to Jacksonville.
Oh, as Eric that said. Hurts. Why is Eric's phone beeping? Oh, it's his private phone. It's the bat line.
Oh.
Tom in Canada, you guys want to get pass rushing outside backers. Look at the Steelers. Didn't even need any of them and drafted two of them in the second and fourth round last year. Just drafted another one a few minutes ago.
And we know Kevin Colbert's the best in the business.
Yeah. And what they do a lot of times is they let them go. Now, Harrison and Woodley, it looks like they have intentions on.
Well, we let ours go, too. I mean, we let Vince Red go.
Pierre Woods.
What's his name?
Woods go.
That's why they keep drafting him.
The difference is, when they let him go, it's coming off an 11-sack season, and somebody gives them too much money.
Right, and then they just plug in the next guy.
Ryan writes in, I'm sure the conversation between Belichick and Andy Reid went something like this. Bill, hey, Andy. Hey, Bill. Are you planning on taking a tight end or a quarterback? No, I'm going for the best pass rusher available. Okay, then let's swap picks. Keep the streak going. I don't need a rusher. Okay, Bill, why not? So
you must be in another galaxy somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
Oh, there is.
And did anybody – this is a totally off topic, but the team –
Don't worry about it.
The team – it's distracting.
Oh, sorry.
Can you guys get it together for 11 more minutes?
The team the Patriots have most been compared to over the last decade is
– The Patriots. for themselves.
No, actually, the answer is
San Antonio
Spurs. I've heard a lot of comparisons between the Spurs and the Patriots.
Okay.
Spurs were knocked out of the playoffs last night. The one seed knocked
down
out.
Down goes Frazier.
And I don't know if any of you happened to listen to Greg Popovich post-game.
I did.
Did he pop off?
No. Absolutely amazing. I'm happy for the city of Memphis. They've waited a long time for this. That team has really showed something. Okay,
you're obviously disappointed,
all I think
but
of was,
happy for them.
What?
Bill Belichick getting knocked out of the playoffs by, say, the Texans. And him, you know, acknowledging that it's great for the city of Houston in the game of
what?
Football. And I couldn't believe. And
I heard that.
That juxtaposition to me of those two guys in similar positions, similar franchises, dynasties, that whole thing, just absolutely I found stunning.
Okay.
And especially in light of today's trade with the Eagles.
Did that make
I'm
you mad?
I'm stunned.
No, it just
like,
made me think.
Similar to that?
You can succeed at a great level and still acknowledge after a tough loss that,
it's a game,
it's good for them, those young kids.
Yeah,
I'm happy for them.
I tried to think how I would feel if I were a Spurs fan, and I would have been proud.
Proud of my coach.
Because he started off, I'm obviously disappointed.
Right.
That was the key thing is he was pissed that they lost.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't throw the series so Memphis could feel good.
He said after all of that,
right,
happy for them. They've waited a long time
Charlie
for some
Clay
success.
Went to the Dolphins. He'll give the Pats trouble.
Yeah. Chuck Clay is going to be a good little player.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be a
Cassius.
Nightmare for Patriots in the middle of the defense.
Iggy from Madrid writes in. Hey,
except
Iggy.
Sanders on the field.
It seems all the picks will go on
amigo
offense
con
with
grande
the exception
cabeza.
Of the cornerback. Do you think the complexity of the Patriots defense and the lack of time to prepare during the preseason due to the lockout did have an impact on this draft?
No.
Could be, because I don't think Brooks Reed could have played.
I don't think that at all, because the offense is very complex as well. So why do you feel okay picking offensive players and not defensive players?
Jeff says,
it's a very complex proposal.
Great job as usual. I slept on the Solder pick, and I like it a bit. However, I find him to be soft and would have liked to tackle with more of a Mahler-type attitude. I know he's soft because I went to Colorado and have seen him play and was definitely not impressed. As for the other picks, I'm not pleased. While I do agree that we needed a tackle, I would argue that the pass rush and interior of the O-line were the biggest needs, especially with Neal retiring and the uncertainty with Mankins. Cannon will not be able to switch to guard, as he is way too large at 6'5 and 350 pounds. We have Connolly, but he's not the answer either. In Skarnecki, I trust, but he will have his hands full with these players.
I think he could play guard.
And that's from Big Jeff.
I just want him to get healthy first.
Okay.
That would be helpful.
Because that's job one right now.
Bill in New Hampshire, I'm beginning to like this draft. Brady is now going to be protected and have a running game. Now let's draft a wide receiver, then sign Logan. One question, who is going to play Seymour's spot at right end on opening day? Was Seymour trade worth it? They have cost us a Super Bowl visit. It may have cost us a Super Bowl visit.
Could be Marcus
Stroud.
I
would assume Stroud. If you can assume Warren plays left, Vince in the middle, Stroud on the right, maybe Ron Brace. But I would think Stroud is the most likely candidate right now.
Bear from New Jersey says, Andy thinks it's a good sign for Taylor Price that they haven't drafted a wide receiver so far. Imagine how good of a sign it is for Cunningham. But really, we better go get someone in free agency. We need a defense.
Oh, the Ravens are coming up in a couple picks. That could be Todd.
Todden.
Otherwise, he's
going
to
keep
the
saying that.
Round.
He might be a free agent.
He might be better off as a free agent at this point, although not with the labor uncertainty. I feel bad for him. I think he's a very good, solid player. I think he has some warts, and clearly the NFL fixated on his warts.
Yeah.
But I think he also has.
He doesn't have any skeletons that could have come out, does he?
Well, no. I mean, just family issues. He comes from a questionable family a little bit. His mother,
but that
issues that are beyond his control.
Yeah,
and he has certainly
nothing that he's
since
done
he was anywhere that, since he was anywhere near the age of adult. I mean, middle school on, he's made great decisions that have gotten him to where he is today.
Monty writes in, it seems that the team has moved from being a great team to being the Colts of the early 2000s. We have a great offense that will win a lot of regular season games but lose early in the playoffs every year because we have no defense. Is this a good comparison?
The Colts
I think
suck.
We've made that, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people, I've heard that before, that the Patriots are now the Colts.
And what, what are the Colts?
Well, you know, back when they were winning a lot of regular season games but not
certainly fair.
The Super Bowl.
Certainly fair. Right?
John writes in, Pats fans from Nova Scotia following the draft in Eleuthera wonders what the comments were on NFL Network about Gronk after the Pats took the tight end with the last pick.
I don't know.
Brilliant!
Well, the tight end that they picked this year is completely different player than Gronkowski. He's a blocking tight end.
Right.
So I don't think it affects Gronkowski at all, his status or Aaron Hernandez's status. What we did say is perhaps Algie Crumpler is getting a little bit toward the end.
Long in the tooth, yeah.
This guy could be the backup or replacement for Algie Crumpler when you have the two tight ends out there.
This guy is pretty athletic, though, too, for a big body, 6'6", 270 in that range. And,
okay.
You know, and Crumpler was known as an athletic guy in his younger days, too.
Yeah.
So it could be.
Frank from Stuttgart, Germany, says Lindy's draft preview had Lee Smith, who we were just talking about, as their 10th best tight end and as their sleeper among all tight ends. They said surprised at the Senior Bowl, it could be a Heath Miller-type blocker with receiving skills. I would have liked Chris Carter at that spot, though, still hoping for Mark Herzlich and maybe Matt Berning, the linebacker from Central Michigan, another German player in New England would be great.
Cowboys very happy.
It's about time they showed some life in that room. They were sitting around all day yesterday.
They just took Dwayne Harris, the wide receiver.
Out of?
East Carolina. 5'10", 200-ish.
Her, do I like him?
I don't know, do you?
Tell you when I get to the page. Tell you what I don't like. I trade the Patriots major.
He's still
I don't understand how that doesn't bother anyone.
It does, Andy, but we're not.
Especially you!
It does, but I'm not, I mean, I'm just, you know what, at this point I'm tired. I want the draft to be over with.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. I still bring passion. It's late in day three, but I still bring the passion. That's why I'm Mr. Draft.
You had a five-hour energy, didn't you?
I didn't. I had a cookie.
Well, that's full of sugar. You got a little sugar high?
I have to pee soon.
Let's see. Jordan in London just Todman? Wanted to let you know that I'm completely underwhelmed by our draft. We
Jordan
had the
from
32nd
darkness.
Rank. Third down defense, and I've only chosen one defensive player to this point. You guys have been great the past few days. I need Fred's Homer attitude, that's Homer, Andy, to get through this.
Fred, I don't think you've really fulfilled that role today.
Being a Homer?
Like, telling them why everything's okay and why this was a great draft and why it's going to be great.
Well, let me tell you, it's not going to be terrible, and you said it yesterday, Andy. They were 14-2 last year. So they weren't that far away from being the team we want them to be. Now, Belichick comes out last night, and he said right out, we have a lot of young guys that we think you're going to develop. Well, I
like
mean,
who?
I well, look.
You
I
have one. Just so you know,
yeah,
you have
one.
No, I think there's
Jermaine
more.
Cunningham. I'm talking about pass rush.
I'm talking about pass
linebacker.
Rush as well.
Okay, but I think he's talking about the complete defense.
Me too.
You know, and I think that, you know, maybe we are putting too much of an emphasis on the drafts, the rush specialist. We've never really had that guy on this team.
No, 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 no. I'm not just saying the rush specialist. You're right. I want that guy. But I don't think they have a second outside linebacker who's a starting caliber player in the National Football League in a 3-4 defense.
You know, I'm leaning toward agreeing with you on that. I don't think Ninkovich, Tully Bannacane, and to this point, Jermaine Cunningham, you know, are that great.
No, I think Cunningham is the closest.
You think he could be.
But you have to have two of them.
Right.
I don't think the other two will be. I mean, at what point do you say they are what they are? They're in their fifth
but
year
let's,
and their
let's
seventh,
put it
whatever.
This, let's put it this way. Let's just say that they pick up a quality, you know, doesn't have to be a superstar, but a quality outside linebacker starter in free agency.
I'll change my tune.
And that's how close we are. That's the point. That's how close we are. If all it takes is that one guy for you to change your tune, we're pretty damn close on this team.
Oh, I know we're close.
You know, so
it's a good football team.
So the fact that they didn't take one in this draft, it's no reason to go apoplectic.
But why not?
What?
Apoplectic.
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 How about apocalyptic?
But apocalyptic?
There's nothing.
Or ukuleles.
Fred, there's nothing to say you couldn't draft one and still sign the guy. Yeah. And, oh, my God, have two options.
No. My God. You're talking crazy now.
And you're right, Andy, but the point is we're damn close. We're really close.
I know that. You always will be close with Belichick and Brady. But the issue is, but just because you're going to go
that
free
makes it even more maddening.
But,
makes it even more maddening. If you're that close, get the guy,
but
then you don't have to worry about being close. Be there.
But, you know, we're all set.
Is that enough passion for
you? On paper, right now, you know, we're all set at defensive back. We're all set at inside linebacker. We're all set at nose tackle. We're pretty good on the line if Ty Warren comes back and Stroud, you know, can play and you know, with the depth that we have with Brace and Myron Pryor and Diedrich. So we're pretty good there. We're just talking about the other outside linebacker spot.
But it's a very important position
on
the defense, and it can change the game.
And
it can change the season.
But a lot of teams are not talking about just one spot on defense.
So why can't they just fill it?
Okay, it's a good question. And, Eric, maybe they just don't think the value is there for the guy, and I hate throwing that word out because it gets so overused.
Screw the value.
But that's how close we are. So if you're a Patriots fan, I mean – it is tantalizing to think that, oh, my God, you could have had, you know, Robert Quinn. But maybe they just didn't think the same way of Robert Quinn that we do.
No, but I'm not fixating on I'm saying any of the 10 players that could play the position, take one. Whatever point you think it's even close to good value. I know it's not as good a value as moving back one pick in the draft for absolutely no reason other than a record.
Right.
But just take one.
Right.
Sheard in the second round. Chris Carter. Anyone.
But at the end of the day, maybe when you compare when you combine value and need, you know, replenishing that running back stable was really more important. Fixing the line because you've got a Tom Brady on offense is much more important.
But that's fine. But the running back one bothers me a little bit because I think running back is the easiest position to find just a guy that can play. He can be your fourth running back. I think they've done it here a million times. And I think you can go and get a running back
Of
the committee.
Again, maybe they looked at last year and said, you know what, if we had a running game that the Jets had to really gear up for, we would have won that game.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think Shane Vereen is that guy.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW
One
in Progress.
One hour. Let's go till Todman gets drafted.
No. We're going to go again on Tuesday, so we'll have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. We'll wrap up this draft. The Patriots have two more picks, one at the end of this round, the sixth, another in the seventh round. I don't know if they'll use them.
Unless they just give one away. Maybe that's the next thing. We've traded for no reason. Maybe we'll just give the next one away because they don't mean anything
anymore. We'll
have
plenty to talk about on Tuesday. In the meantime, stick with Patriots.com for more Patriots Today. You know, the press conferences with any of the new draft picks. And like I said, we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for listening, everybody.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.